welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Get it on. Why not? 866-901-ADAM. Had a good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
No.
Had a good good omen this morning, somewhere around right when I was going to wake up. It's probably about 4:45 in the morning. My dog Molly, who sleeps on the bed with us, rolled over on her back and started rocking out. She does that every once in a while. She just rolls over on her back and starts doing. I don't know if she's dreaming about eating or humping or something, but she'll roll over on her back and just.
She's a dog. She gets it all. She's eating and humping simultaneously, yes. Man.
I said, I thought to myself, more time a dog spends in that rollover on the back, scratch the back position, the better the dog's life. And then I walked into the kiddies' room just because sometimes I like to just see what they look like when they're in their slumber or see how they're doing or cover them up or something. And went to go check on Sonny, and he was asleep on his back, but he was laughing. He was just laughing. He was having a good dream. I thought that was a good sign.
All the creatures in the Corolla house are happy.
That's right. Then I stubbed my toe on the ottoman and punched my reflection in the mirror.
I was going to say, not all the creatures.
But the creatures under your care. Happy.
Yes. Then I decided, why not you be happy? And I actually enjoyed myself
you
while
mean
I was
the little
watching
guy,
my CNN.
He was giggling in his sleep?
He was on his back, and he was giggling while he was sleeping, which was nice. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I dropped an ovary or an egg or something.
I guess we've all... We've all done it. Oh, T, when you, I don't know. I don't know what the best age is, but it seems like they're pretty close to it because they can talk, just say selective words, but they're not going to do any of that. I hate you. I wish I was never born. You're not the boss of me. I'm a lesbian.
Dude, I'm 47, 48 now. I say that to you almost daily. You're not right. My real dad. You can't make me. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah,
and then
right.
Somebody shows my contract where it actually says Adam Carolla, boss of me.
Right now, they just point stuff out like Elmo and Molly and Mommy and Daddy.
That, some people think he's calling you a homo. I'm
pretty sure he is calling me a homo, but either...
Elmo!
Either way, so... yeah, it's nice. I took him over to Kimmel's house to watch a little football. Got a little bit drunk and lost track of him only one time.
Well, he lost track of both or what?
Well, I just brought Sonny to watch football, and you know, it's a pretty good.
Want to make a lesbian under the girl?
Hmm.
Wouldn't want to make a lesbian.
Oh yeah,
under the girl
yeah,
by
no.
Watch football?
Not at
no.
This stage. Yeah. Later on, though.
Of course.
I lost track. Sarah Silverman was sort of in the office, and he ran over. He just making the rounds, and lost track of him for a second. He went all the way up the staircase. He's not great at stair climbing, but evidently he could handle it. And he went up two flights of stairs and was standing in Jimmy's teenage daughter's bedroom, sniffing under. No, standing in the bedroom.
Say.
Standing in the bedroom when I finally decided he couldn't go up these stairs, could he? And there he was.
Now, let me get this straight. Kimmel was hosting everyone while he was hosting the AMAs.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
Kimmel was not, and yes, he loves Huey Lewis in the news. Kimmel wasn't around yesterday. Everyone, his cousin Sal opened up his house, and 20 guys still showed up.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. He was working away at the AMAs all day.
Which we have to discuss
yesterday.
At some point.
Yeah, we'll discuss during the news, if not sooner.
I had another AMA-related thought, which was Kanye West was supposed to be at the AMAs, but I think he couldn't because of his tragedy. His mother passed away. And then he was doing a concert, and he was trying to dedicate a song to his mom or do a new song for his mom. And he, it's one of the perks about being a rapper, which is your mom dies when you're in the middle of a concert tour.
Right.
And she dies on a Tuesday, and on Wednesday night show, you got a song.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just like, hey, man, play Kashmir again. And then I'll just go, Mama, you know I miss you. You know I love you. I can't live with you. Can't live. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, new song for Mama. Right, right. It's a song Led Zeppelin wrote in 1972. Yeah, right. I know, but I'm saying I've replaced Misty Mountain Hop with I love my pop. It's easy. Okay. Now I got a new song about my mom. I've written a new song. It's like, wow, you can write a new song in 21 hours. No, Led Zeppelin can write a song in 6 months, and that was 30 years ago. But anyway, he misses his mama, and he broke down on stage. And I thought, yeah, God, that's sad, you know. And as I've said, you know, white guys, we're lukewarm on our moms. I mean, most of the white guys I know are kind of come see, come saw. They don't want anything bad to happen to their mom, but they're not like, there's no, as I've said, as I asked the partisan crowd over at Kimmel's house, a bunch of white guys, would there be a bunch of footage of you on stage with your mom or at book signings with your mom or walking down red carpets with your mom? I'm a celebrity. There's no footage of me up on stage with my mom. Never has been, never will be. I love my mom. I hope she's fine, but I'm not going to dedicate any songs to her. And most white guys I know feel that way. Now, I thought to myself, here's the thought I had this morning when I saw that Kanye broke down. I thought, isn't this the same dude who a couple years ago was complaining because he didn't win a Grammy? Isn't this the same dude who every award show where he doesn't clean up on awards holds a press conference explaining that he's the real winner,
right,
and that he's never coming back because he should have been given the AMA or the Grammy or the whatever award is?
He's the boxer of rapping. I was robbed.
He was robbed.
Yeah.
He was robbed, and I don't know about you guys, but never before in award show history have I heard guys do interviews about how insulted they are that they didn't win and how they're not coming back next year and that kind of stuff. And then I thought, where does somebody get that?
You mean sense of entitlement?
Yeah, where do you get that moxie? How do you feel that good about yourself?
I'd like a little of it. How?
I give it to people.
Could I?
Just because I've got so much of it.
I deserve it all.
So right. Sometimes I'll give some to you.
Well, I actually thought about you, Danny, because I thought.
See?
I thought, well, obviously he was very close with his mom.
Yeah.
And he loved his mom. And then I thought, I'll bet you his mom. Well, some use the word empower, some use enable. But the point is she said, you can do anything, son. And you can do it, and I'll be standing right next to you when you do it. And don't you ever let anyone tell you. And I think that's part of where he got the I should have won the MTV award, or probably. I should have won the Golden Globe, or I should have won. So in a way, you sort of create a monster. On the other hand, you create a very rich, successful monster. Now, do you think his bond, his connection with his mom, the relationship he had with his mom, are things coming into focus now a little bit about some of his past behavior, or could anyone just be this way anytime?
Well, obviously the answer is both.
Right.
That, you know, your mom dies and you go, wow, I could have been a better son. I could have done this. I could have done that. Or it could be, and I would think in Kanye's sense, it's, man, she worked hard. Isn't she the one that would clean toilets and clean the houses?
She was a professor in Chicago.
No, that's every other black bear, but not his. Yeah, she was a doctor.
I think she was a single mother.
Right.
But she.
Here's my point. Did she create... Do you think he was fed a steady diet of, you can do no wrong, don't listen to anybody, don't let anyone tell you what to do, don't let anyone tell you you're second best... I feel like he must have got fed a steady diet of that from her. And now that she's gone, in a way, his support system, his cheering section, his greatest fan is gone, because this is a guy who is empowered, or at least feels that way, or entitled, or both.
You know, it's weird. At first, I felt kind of embarrassed going, well, isn't she the lady that worked 5 jobs, blah, blah, and you didn't know she was a professor? Almost in a way the same thing. Imagine an African-American lady working 3 jobs so her son can pursue his dream of being a rapper, or an African-American lady who is theoretically a repressed minority,
mm-hmm,
saying, look at me, I'm a professor. Mm-hmm. You can do anything. Mm-hmm. Either way, it comes out, you can do anything.
Yeah. Well, so, he definitely got the you can do anything because I didn't get the you can do anything speech from anyone in my family. Thus, they can stay home while I get up on stage. That's the way I look at it. If he brought her up on stage, this is the woman that got me here, I think is what's going on. I'm just wondering if, and I don't know that there's going to be any scientific data to back this up. I'm just saying, when I was sitting watching CNN this morning at 5:08 and I was seeing Kanye break down and cry at one of his concerts over the death of his mama, I thought, oh, yeah, seemed like last year he was just standing in front of a bunch of cameras explaining that he should have got the award. And everyone was saying, what a pompous jackass this guy is. And it really made me realize, I think mama created that and now mama's gone.
Yeah, I mean, there's the upside to that kind of extreme confidence. Well, when some guy bum rushes the stage because he didn't win an award, it's maybe not that gracious. But when he said that George Bush does not like black people after Katrina, which everyone was thinking, I couldn't believe it. And
oh,
I was,
that's a very,
very impressed.
It's a very good point, though. It's a very good point, which is I think it's a slippery slope because here's the deal. You want to give your child confidence. I got screwed in that department, personally. I came from a large group of people that said, pick up a shovel and get busy. And nobody said anything bad, but nobody said anything good. It was just, hey, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go clean carpets and I'll see you guys in the next life. Hey, knock yourself out. No one ever said, whoa, you're special, you're Corolla, you've got something, whatever. It never was discussed. And thus, it took me a long time to forge a career because I never thought, you know, when I thought to myself, hey, I'll pick up a microphone, I'll get up on stage, I would think to myself, well, who wants to hear what you have to say, idiot? Now pick up a broom and get busy. That's what I was raised on. Not, again, no one ever called me dumb or anything. It was just kind of like, all right, now you've said your piece, now let someone else talk. Well, and what makes your opinion more important than someone else? So that's the wrong way to go right there. But on the other hand, you don't want to go the you can do no wrong, don't let anyone ever tell you what to do, and your poop doesn't stink. I get the feeling like Kanye got that, and I think more and more people are getting that. I'm wondering if too many people aren't getting that, because the problem is when you get that, but you don't have talent, then you just have the world's worst McDonald's employee.
Right.
And the guy says, hey, give me a sweep and a mop of the dining area. And he goes, so you ain't the boss of me. Nobody tells. And next thing you know, he's out of his $4 an hour job.
I had both extremes. My mother, like you said, you know, there's no pictures of me and my mom at an award show. Well, I started presenting at award shows and or winning at award shows at 11.
Same here.
They're all pictures with me and my mom. My mom was always my date to the Emmys and stuff like that. Because we had to go. It was the rules.
Right.
We worked for a network. On the other hand, I was playing Atlantic City, New Jersey, Steel Pier. Does anybody remember it?
No.
Where the horse would dive into,
into the water?
Yeah. Now it's a big, giant casino. This is how old I am and how long I've been doing this. Then sitting there on a fence, my name is up in huge lights on the whole side of a building that hangs over the ocean. And I turn, and as I turn, my dad punches me in the face so hard. And I hit the dirt, and I'm stunned for a second. And I get up, and I don't even have time to ask why he just punched me in the face, which is kind of a, you know, there's no reason to ask anyway. He didn't say anything. But he hits me in the face, and I go flying as I crawl to my feet. He looks at me, and he said, is that right? Is that how life works? And I said, that's not as cool as I sound now, because I was in a panic. I said, what are you talking about, man? And he pointed up at my name up in lights. And it said, Danny Bonaducci, in really big letters. And then with, and in much smaller letters, Duke Ellington.
Mm.
And my dad said, you think you deserve that?
You might have. It's Duke Ellington.
You deserve title over Duke Ellington. Is that how life works for you? And just busted my nose because I got top billing over Duke Ellington. Well, more people knew me by that year.
No, that's.
I mean, I wouldn't punch a kid in the face over it, but I'd say, hey, you know what? That's not right.
How you should dare you?
I'm sure check out the Duke.
I'm sure there was a Milli Vanilli in U2 concert bill. I mean, I'm sure. I would love to see all the super hot you know, not that Danny was a flash in the pan, but the
six flashes in pans.
Yes, which eventually is a grease fire.
Yeah.
He's a grease fire. He's not a flash in the pan. Hello, smacky, smacky. Yeah, I would love to see all the marquees of bands that are now huge or legendary, whatever, that were coming up. And I'm sure there was a Paul Revere and the Raiders reunion and the Police.
Sure.
In 1976.
I kick your ass on this. Ready? I eat soup off your head, as my dad would say.
Okay.
Because he's so short. That's an expression. I eat soup off your head. Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Opened for the Monkees at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's a good one. That sounds really good.
All right, we should go out on a that's a good one note. We'll take a break. When we come back, we have a tease for blah blah blog T.
Yeah, you know we cull from the blogs of real life celebrities and we try to guess who they are. I don't know, but this is either Emeril Lagasse, Donald Trump, or Curt Schilling, the Red Sox pitcher. Here's a little bit of it. With temperance comes modesty. Something that is not one of my personal best qualities. Lagasse, Trump, or Schilling?
Tough. All sort of blowhards in their own way. Schilling, big Jesus guy.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll come back to gamble. Oh, I owe you 20 bucks.
Notice the one that you refer to as the Jew with horns already gave me her 20.
I don't like owing.
I didn't even ask. It was sitting here when I got here.
Well, actually, trying to think. Yeah, I'll get my wallet. We'll settle up. Quick break. Blah, blah, blog. Next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Live from the corner office, program director Jack Silver.
Y'all ready for the Jack Man to break it down for you, peeps? Today, stupid celebrity blogs get exposed on Blah, Blah, Blog. Music Monday. Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison. And the Ace Man does what he does best. No, not masturbating. I'm talking about what can't Adam complain about. Get your minds out of the gutter, peeps. And now, the Jack Man's gonna go do what he does best. And yes, I'm talking about masturbating.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. New game, Sweep of the Nation. A lot of blowhard celebrities who blog. We read the blog. Give you a list of three celebrities. We gamble on it.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
And we guess. And it's much harder than I would have thought. I would have thought I'd be able to match the blowhard blog to the blowhard celebrity easily. But we always come up with good celebrities. And an eclectic mix, too. Just like the tease we heard. Let's do the intro.
It's time to play Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity to their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right, T, you want to do the first one?
Okay, is this Emeril Lagasse? That's the kick it up a notch guy.
That's Donald the bam
Trump.
Guy.
Bam, yeah.
Right.
Donald Trump or Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling? Schilling, Trump, or Lagasse? Here goes their blog. With temperance comes modesty, something that is not one of my personal best qualities. I have always said that you have to blow your own horn, because if you don't do it, who is going to do it for you? So I encourage temperance in moderation. You can still work to be the biggest and the best.
I was sure on Lagasse till the word temperance, instead of bam.
He uses it twice.
How many times? I only heard paprika three times in that sentence. What do you think? I'm going. Well, let's all check ours off, and then we'll read it. That way, we'll stop playing against each other.
Oh, this is one of the hardest ones ever.
I'll tell you mine first, then.
All right, T, you have yours decided.
Yeah.
Okay.
It.
What do you got, Danny?
I got Schilling.
Mm-hmm. I went with Schilling too.
I went with Lagasse.
He's normally good at this, Bald Brian.
You all got trumped. It's Donald Trump.
Oh!
Wow.
The obvious choice.
So weird that none of us had a vibe for that at all. I don't know. It seems, I guess, without the hair and the sort of,
smoking sucks.
I feel like I couldn't feel him yelling at me through his blog.
That's why blah, blah, blah is so difficult.
All right. So we're all down 0-1. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. Is this Fred Durst, Daniel Baldwin, or Jeff Bridges?
All right.
I can sense things so clearly at times, and I have been around those who have absolutely found or been found by their soulmate. This assures me all is well, regardless of my mind's own interpretation of exactly where I am at in this particular genre of love and life. When things that are living are in fact dying, they change colors, but the things that are already dead will always remain the same.
Man, they screw you up at the last sentence every time. I had it.
Mm-hmm.
I was positive of it.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought, okay, should we talk it out or do we just pick?
I say we pick and then talk it out.
Okay. Ooh, this is hard. Okay.
I'm ready when anybody tells me.
Adam, this is radio.
I eliminated Jeff Bridges, but it's a coin toss between Durst and Baldwin. I'm going with Baldwin. Daniel Baldwin.
Team. I also eliminated Bridges. And in the coin toss, I think I'm going to have to go with...
Again, people, $20 to us. What we tip the guy gives us a ride to the airport is a year's salary to Teresa and her people.
I will go with Durst.
All right. I did not eliminate Bridges. I'm going with Bridges.
Wow. Three-way. You rarely see that. Spread out three different answers. Bald Brian.
I'm working on it.
People can't stop talking about Fred Durst.
Oh.
I got lucky.
Mm. You got lucky. You had a three-way with Durst.
Damn you, T.
It's surprisingly well-written for something coming from the mind of Durst.
Well, you know what? That's the thing about them being written. You know, when I wrote my book, they offered me a ghostwriter. And I said, yeah, I'm busy. That'd be great. And then they said they get 40 to 60%. And I said, eat me. Get me a pen.
Right.
So who knows if he really wrote that?
Yeah.
He had, like, an idea or something. Maybe. And I, you know what? But I was wrong about Adrienne Curry, and she was mad at me.
Right.
I said, there's no way she wrote hers, and she wrote every word of it. So maybe he wrote every word of it, but I'm wrong, and I owe money.
We're 0-2, T, 1-1. Let's go to the third blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Is this comedian Kathy Griffin, Rocco DeSpirito, restaurateur, or Margaret Cho, also a comedian? Teenagers are so insecure, and now my favorite holiday, which was all about unbiased generosity, had become a popularity contest. I was shy and introverted and not on the A-list. Halloween, for me, from that year on, wasn't fun, but rather made me groan with the expectation of forced fun without candy.
Huh.
Wow.
Let's see. Teenagers.
Teenagers are so insecure. Now my favorite holiday, which was all about unbiased generosity, had become a popularity contest. I was shy and introverted and not on the A-list.
All right. All right, I have mine.
Is it not on the A-list, so it has to be Kathy?
I've checked my answer.
I've checked my answer.
T?
And my answer, by the way, is not necessarily who I said.
Okay. T, what do you think?
I'm going Rocco.
I'm going Cho.
I'm going Cho. So there's three different
pronunciations of this bitch's name.
Danny's voted for a dog with a purple tongue. I have comedian Margaret Cho.
Same thing.
Now, we're both going Margaret Cho. Oh, I got a story about her. And he's going with Rocco. Damn it. Okay, we all think it's not Kathy because we think Mike put Kathy in there
because
she's at A-list. Although he does screw with us that way sometimes.
Yes, I know.
Now, Rocco DeSpirito, what the hell? No, yeah.
Here's why he was Rocco by default, because
yes.
Margaret Cho is a great writer.
I know. I want to switch to Rocco. Ooh.
Don't blame me.
I'm switching to Rocco. Switching to Rocco because I feel like he's a wild card, like he wouldn't be there. All right, let's do it.
Great porn name, Rocco DeSpirito.
Yeah. There you go. Since I'm playing with your money.
Cho is too excellent a writer. This is very journeyman-like.
Oh, yeah. Fat bitch.
She,
what?
Loud mouth fat bitch.
What the?
You don't care for her?
Not in the slightest.
Guy Oki's going to be paying the Bonaducci residence a visit in a couple of hours.
Dude. She could be any nationality at all. She's a blowhard. Thing. She's, everything she says is going to save the world. I just don't like her.
Well,
is that a rule around here? If you happen to be Asian, you can't like them.
No. I
love her because she's funny and a good writer.
I think she's kind of a
blowhard. I didn't like my first wife, and she was Asian too.
I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on her because on one hand, she's not dumb and she's not a bad stand-up. On the other hand, she's got a little of that poop don't stink on stage kind of thing.
Was she a great big fan?
Oh, she was. I guess she used to drink. At a certain point, she walked over to my house. She used to write scripts with people in it that she liked, and she used to like me. One time I was talking to somebody about it. She wrote a script that had like a love scene in it with me and her in it, except for I like tied her up and humiliated her and things like that. And she said, I'm coming over to the house and we're going to talk about this part I read for you or I wrote for you in this script. And I said, yeah, sure. Come on by. And she walked over to the house. She wasn't far away, although I've never seen an Asian woman sweat before, but I had a lot of stairs between the street and the front door. And she came over and we started to read the script. And the script was about me tying her up and shoving her panties in her mouth. And okay. Stuff like that.
I changed my mind. I like her.
Now, wait a second. Are you with Lynette at this point?
Not. She's not in the room. That's what you're asking.
So you were living with her, but she was not in the room at this time.
Mm-mm. No, I wasn't living with her. And Margaret Cho was the only one in the room. And we were going over a very, I said, just drop the script off. I'll give it a read. And she's like, no, we're reading it. And it was very graphic about what I did to her. I think we're at a party and we threw all the coats off the bed. I don't know who started that tradition of piling coats on a bed, but we tossed them all off. And the next thing you know, I was tying her up, shoving her panties in her mouth and like flogging her with my parts and stuff.
Where'd you get the panties?
It was, I'd have to check the script, but I think they may have been her panties.
Well, I realize that, but did she bring extra or did you take them off her and stuff them in her mouth?
I don't think she has a van full of panties. I think they must have been the ones she was wearing into the party. I'm assuming.
Dude, you rock!
Well, she rocks because I didn't write it. She
wrote it. Happened. They were reading the script.
Like, a girl
didn't
who
happen.
Would do something like that would super rock. But most guys are a lot less tough than you think. If a girl says, hey, let's do it right over there in that corner, there's 60% of guys that chicken out.
But I didn't. It was just in the script form, Danny. I didn't actually do it.
You were reading through it.
But you're throwing coats off beds.
That was just in the script. That was like, it's like this blog.
Right.
In a sense, it's words on a page. Danny, I didn't actually do it. Later on, she apologized to me for being drunk, and now she's sober, and it wasn't going to happen again. I told her I didn't care. But then later on, I ran into somebody else. And this other person said, yeah, Margaret Cho wrote, this was a woman, by the way. Margaret Cho wrote a script with a sex scene with me in it. And she wanted to come over and talk about it. And I thought, wow, this is diabolical.
That's a racket.
It's a great racket.
Matter of fact, let me get to MySpace.
I need someone for a role.
Yeah, I think you'd be just right. Next thing you know, you're just sitting alone in the person's house. And you're going, then you tear my blouse off. Then you get on top of me, and people are knocking on the door. So you wedge a chair up against it, and you tie me up my pantyhose on the chair, and you start humiliating me. But it turns me on. And the next thing you know, you're going, whoa. Like, if Margaret Cho was a hot chick, I would have definitely gotten some form of a boner
at some
point.
Did you notice that she was loaded when she was there?
I think.
Did you notice she was female when she got there?
I think she was.
And you didn't bone her?
I think she was overall. I think she went through some period where she was on some substance. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was booze. I don't know what she was on, but she was on. It probably wasn't diet pills. That's the only thing I can eliminate speed. She was on something, and she was
carbs.
I didn't know this. It's just at a later date, I was at Kathy Griffin's house, like a year later, 2 years later, and she did one of those step number nine, pull me aside, pull me out of the party, sit me down, and explain to me, now I'm loaded.
Uh-oh.
I'm horny.
Right?
She's looking pretty good.
I give her the hand drag.
Nothing to be sorry for.
Hey, I'll tell you what we should do with that step nine. How about we put a six in front of it?
Nothing less funny than some ex hockey making amends.
So now I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, I was complete. You can't offend me. You really can't. So I didn't care. So evidently she's gotten sober. Yeah. That was some time ago. And she's found herself. And I don't know if she's with ladies now or with the fellas. The beautiful thing about booze is you're with the population of the planet.
Yep. Right.
If you're a budding lesbian, you'll be with a dude on a Tuesday and a chick on a Wednesday and a dude and a chick on a Thursday. That's what booze does. Good times. Where were we?
Relapsing.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Tea.
Relapsing immediately.
You're 2-1. Is that true? I'm 1-2. Danny, 0-3.
I'm dying.
You can make it up on this one.
All right.
Okay, is it Hal Sparks, who you know from Queer as Folk and I think Talk Soup?
Mm-hmm. He's gay!
Jason Mraz, musician?
He's gay! Mm-hmm.
Or Ross the Intern from The Tonight Show?
Who? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ross the Intern.
All right.
He's gay!
Happy weekend, blog buddies! It's an overcast weekend here in Los Angeles, and I'm loving every minute of it. Football and blankets and crock pots and sweatshirts. My fave! Exclamation point.
All right, are any of these guys known screaming homosexuals?
Yes. Probably just 2.5 out of the 3.
I think Ross is pretty out.
I would say so, too. All right, and then there's Hal Sparks, who...
He's on a show about gay people. I believe he's straight, but I don't know for sure.
But that confuses people, because I've met him a few times.
Ooh. It's just such a nothing blog.
What's the ooh?
I've met
and
him,
Jason,
too.
Jason Mraz... Mraz.
He's some kind of musician.
Okay.
And he makes funny faces when he sings.
Okay.
He makes that rock star face.
Damn.
But he does enjoy football.
And I am going with Mraz.
All right, but you're going with Mraz because why the hell is he on the list?
Yeah. I'm going with Ross.
I'm going with Jason Mraz on this one, too. Let me give you a why.
Okay.
But
you can't change.
Heavy pants.
I can't change?
You can't change. Only I can change.
I felt a sudden need for change.
Only I can change. Try it, you bastard.
Jujue has to want to change. I can't make...
I need to change.
No, you can't change. You picked Hal Sparks. No, you picked Ross.
Yeah, because my only reason for change is I think he has a video blog, because he's actually blogged about me before.
All right. Who would you like to change to?
I was thinking of changing to what... All right, I'll keep it.
Oh, you're going with Mraz.
I would go with Mraz. Mraz, however you say his name. Mraz.
Well, you're ahead. Mraz. That's Mraz. Why you can't change.
Okay, I'll stay with Ross.
All right, so you got Ross. Danny and I have Jason Mraz. Here we go.
Ross the Intern.
Oh, I almost changed.
God!
Let me.
Damn it! Those interns.
You know what?
I love Ross even more now.
My own brain has turned on itself and is eating it away because here's what I did. Here was my thought process, and this is why I'm a super smart idiot. My first impulse was Ross the Intern.
Yeah.
Because this sounds super gay, and why the hell would Ross the Intern be on this right. hit parade if it wasn't? But then the second one, happy weekend, blog buddies. It's an overcast weekend here in Los Angeles. I'm loving every minute. I thought, no, I was saying it like a gay man. This right. doesn't have to be a gay.
Right.
We guys talking about football and sweat jackets and crock pots. This is not happening. This could right. be a tailgater from Michigan.
Sure.
Sounds like a hot crocs and donuts.
But no straight guy says my fave.
Yeah, so this felt.
Unless you're a Beatle.
This felt enthusiastic. So I thought, wait a minute. No, this was Jason Mraz, who knows who that is. And it was bookended by the two guys who Mike thinks is gay so that we would take it off of Mraz. Why would this guy Mraz be on the list? This sounds gay. I'll pick two gay guys. And so, yes, I went right from Ross the Intern to Mraz.
I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
Yes, yes. Now, T, you've jumped. Now, you're in a dominating lead now. You're 3-1?
I think so.
Statistically screwed.
You bitch. Well, let's play the last one anyway, just for pride.
Okay, just for pride.
Damn it.
Is this Moby, David Byrne, I believe, of the Talking Heads, or Tori Amos?
Mm.
Here Here goes.
That's going to be tough.
Today was the NYC Marathon. Wanted to bike to Long Island City, but the Queensboro Bridge bike lane was closed. Took the Roosevelt Island tram instead and rode down by the abandoned lunatic asylum. There was no one around. From the tip of the island, one has a great view of the UN building and a rocky island filled with cormorants. An odd sight for NYC. Cormorants are birds.
Oh, man. This is going to be...
This is hard.
This is going to be tough.
It's somebody who really knows New York City well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have mine. T?
I've ruled out one.
I got mine.
I ruled one out, too.
Anyone?
I ruled out Margaret Cho. Still left with three.
Now, if it would have said I wanted to ride Margaret Cho off of New York, I didn't know who it was.
All right, I got mine. Yeah, for me it was Moby or David Byrne, and I went with David Byrne.
To me it was Moby or Tori, but I went with Moby.
All right. So, Tori, Moby, David Byrne, right?
No, I'm going with Moby.
Oh, you're going with Moby. Okay, two Mobys and a David Byrne. Here we go. Yeah, little
consolation.
David Byrne,
little consolation.
I did get one right.
No.
What is David Byrne doing blogging?
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Why is Jason... How is a name I've never heard of on this stupid blog list?
What's his big hit song, Bri? You'd know this.
That would imply that he has a big hit song.
No, yeah, he has a bunch of big
hits. He has songs that are hits, but not nothing that is.
We're back to
Jason Mraz, that guy.
Yeah, that... No.
No, but he's on Top 40. When I was on that other station, we played this cat all the time.
Jason Mraz?
No one song that everyone would know.
No.
Who's the other guy then?
John Mayer?
Yes.
That's
how did you do that?
Danny, you understand how your brain works and then do some math. Jason Mraz. Well, the first thing was is that this has Jason Mraz been around for a while?
Actually, I think most people know him better. He is one of the talking head guys on I Love the 80s. He's on all those I Love the 80s, I Love the 90s guys.
Right. He did I Melt With You, the cover from 51st Date soundtrack.
To hell with them.
All right.
This is Jason Mraz.
What kind of animal would put Jason Mraz on a popular blog bit list? You know what I mean?
Well, meanwhile, it's a bad time to ask you boys to pay up.
That's all I needed. All I needed was that stupid, should have listened to my gut with that stupid Rossi intern. All right, let's do our out thing.
Until next time, that was Blah, Blah, Blog.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I have some stuff to play for you from Britney and The View and many other things. I have very strong feelings about this latest Britney driving thing. I found out a piece of information over the weekend that changed my life.
Really?
Tell you about it next.
I have one for what Adam can't complain about. Adam, you can't possibly complain about the illustrious city of Laguna Beach, California.
Hello! Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know what the difference between Laguna and Lagoon is. I don't feel like we need them both.
No.
And then secondly...
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
I don't need Laguna and beach combined. It's redundant. There's a lagoon, there's a beach. There's no lagoon in the middle of the city unless you go to Disneyland. Where were we? I'll get to complaining later.
Yeah, you had a life-changing moment.
I was.
Britney?
That Mike Chaffee didn't load into the thing yet, so I'll get to that in a second. Maybe we'll play it during your upcoming news.
Oh, good.
I will play something else that didn't change my life but made me want to throw up into a potted plant. I watched The View. On Sundays, I watched The View and Oprah, and then I complain with
Dude,
my
are you
wife.
Gay?
My job is to ruin The View and to ruin Oprah for my wife.
How can you ruin Oprah?
And my kids. Well, that I'll tell you during the commercial. But the way I ruin The View is I just listen to the new cast, and I have seen it with, as I've said, with Whoopi. Now, the problem with Whoopi, it's one of these things where she's a name, and people think she's funny. She's not funny at all. They should have gone with Kathy Griffin and or kept Rosie. I never thought I'd miss Rosie, but I miss Rosie.
She's smart.
Smart and funny and outspoken. She's like Kathy Griffin. And the problem is we live in a society where we take the name over the content. And somebody like Kathy Griffin has a lot more content than someone like Whoopi, but someone like Whoopi has an Oscar and has hosted the Oscars. Whoopi is horrible, and now I have not seen it with Barbara Walters, who is essentially Larry King on a Quaalude. She's like the crypt keeper, except for napping, and she's never was good. Barbara Walters is definitely one of these right time, right place people.
Yeah.
Barbara Walters is not charismatic. She's not funny. She's not provocative. She's not easy on the eyes. She's not anything except for she got there first, and now she's Barbara Walters.
And made someone cry first.
And sort of like Larry King, she is horrible on her own show, and now it's the blind leading the blind, because Whoopi's horrible, Barbara the game passed her by in the 60s, Joy Behar just tells schmaltzy jokes from the Borscht Belt, and Sherry Shepherd is just there to fill out some EEOC requirement. She's a heavy-set woman of color. So now here's what you have. Here's Whoopi. They're talking about dieting. This is, again, I watch one show every week. I watch it on Sunday from bed before I go to Kimmel's and try to forget it by drowning it in Jägermeister and Miller Lite. This is one segment from one show. This is Friday's show. This is Whoopi explaining how she got her shape. Or loses the weight.
I did the L.A. weight loss.
Yeah.
And I lost 43 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I ate everything I wanted to eat in the combination I was supposed to eat. Because I don't eat vegetables. I don't eat protein. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. Well, and what happened is my body...
She sucks on a new flavor toothpick.
My body starts to think it's starving. And it packs on
that's
fat.
Right.
That's
right.
What it does. Yes. And that's why my weight will go up, because I'm not a big eater.
So
but they
don't eat protein. Right. You don't eat. But what do you eat? Mashed potatoes?
No, I wasn't eating anything. I didn't do anything. And
she doesn't eat anything. Her weight would go up because she wasn't a big eater.
I've been like that literally all my life.
Well, you could go a whole day a week.
I could go 2 days without eating anything.
Really?
Yeah. But here's the thing with me. I didn't realize how bad it was for your body, because I just assumed you would lose that I would be thin, but it's not so. So once I learned how to eat, mm-hmm. I did it, the weight came off, but then I realized that once I reached the goal, my body said, well, you're still not hungry.
Yeah.
And I started slipping away, hence the bolder look.
Huh? Does anyone really know? I know there was a small point in there about you don't starve yourself all day and then eat a chocolate cake before you go to bed, because your body will grab those calories.
Right.
All understand that concept, but that was all over the road. And people, I like the part where people said, well, why were you gaining weight? And she's like, because I never ate.
Right.
Which I understand sort of the point she was making, but then she doubled back and came around again. That was a minute of nothing. It's not like I sat there and went, hey, where's my steno pad? These are some very positive dating tips
she
from Whoopi.
She is colossally uninteresting.
You don't lose weight from, or gain weight from starving, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you don't lose weight. Your body goes into starvation mode and saves every calorie it can.
But she really thinks she's interesting. That's the magic of Whoopi. You can tell by how she's delivering the information that she thinks it's fascinating.
That was a bunch of nothing, and she's the cream of the crop over there, because it's Whoopi Goldberg sitting in between Barbara Walters and Sherry Shepherd. Whoopi Goldberg is horrible, and it almost seems like she's a little high or a little drunk or a little disinterested. And again, I watch a random show once a week. I'm not combing through the week's worth of shows and picking out. I don't even get through the first 15 minutes of the show. I watch the beginning segment of one show a week, and I find 10 clips of how horrible Whoopi is. It's one of these things where, look, I don't want to seem like a bigger dick than I already am. I just don't like it when people take talented people and go with the name. And if they do, they get what they deserve, because I can't believe anyone's going to watch this show now. It is officially horrible, and it is 10 times worse when Barbara shows up. All right, I will play another great one later on. This is Barbara at her best. We need to take ourselves a break. T?
Yep.
The news, what's coming up in it?
How much would you pay this man to deliver your news?
Don't sell booze to black people.
I'll tell you what. Everybody. Fox News is paying him, and it's quite a bit.
Mm.
New contract.
We'll take ourselves a... Now, is that the guy who got caught saying something about J-Lo's ass?
Oh, I have that for you.
Oh, good. All right. We'll take a break. We'll hear both those next.
Coming up this morning, a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about.
I bet you can't complain about Helen Keller.
Horrible Lake. Music Monday works off the overused family theme in songs. A visit from Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison. The news with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci will make it all about Danny Bonaducci.
I would get busted for something. And I would call people and say, hey, make sure to watch Hard Copy tonight. I'm on.
866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T. Your time to shine, girl. What do you got?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Jimmy Kimmel hosted the American Music Awards for the fourth time last night. But because of the Hollywood writer's strike, he couldn't write jokes or a monologue for the show. Here, Jimmy explains how he's dealing with that issue.
I'm Jimmy Kimmel. This is my fourth time hosting the show, and my first time hosting it drunk, so I'm very excited to be here. Actually, this is going to be a little bit loose tonight. Thank you. I assume that's for me. But this is going to be a little bit loose tonight because I'm a member of the Writers Guild, and we're on strike, and so I'm on strike. I mean, it may not look like it, but I'm striking right now in my heart. So I was not allowed to write any jokes for tonight's event, which is good for those of you here in the front area, but bad really for the rest of the world who has to sit through made-up crap.
He did a little dance number that worked out very nicely.
I thought that was cute, the soldier dance.
I was the first one he hosted. I was in the little room with the curtain around it that has the monitor that's right off the backstage. So when you walk off the stage, you go in this little room. They hang these duvetine black curtains around. They put a little monitor, and you just sit there coming up with quick jokes. Okay. And somewhere about halfway into it, I was just sitting there just writing some jokes. And Dick Clark popped his head in, and he looked at me, and he said, Jimmy, get back out there. I was just standing, sitting there in sweatpants and flip-flops writing jokes, but I went out there, dropped a couple N-bombs, and I realized, Dick, maybe the game had passed him by at that point.
That was my motto during the other half. That's my dick. I said it every show.
Well, you know, you want to have your team of writers in case something unexpected happens, which it did.
Right.
The most magical moment was, of course, that kid from, I think they're called the Jonas Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're this young teen group, and they busted through these kind of rectangular glass panels. Mm-hmm. But the one in the middle busted through, and as he walked forward to his mic, he slipped, fell right down to his knees. I had to rewatch it about 12 times.
That would be a fall.
It was hilarious. Because he wasn't hurt, and he popped back up and recovered well.
Yeah. The format of those shows, award shows, I get uncomfortable with. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. They're 3 hours long, and 3 hours is too much time for anything except for football, which I watch 9 hours of or pornography, of course, my beloved pornography. But the format's not right for me. I don't enjoy it. I watch the ones Jimmy does because I love Jimmy, but I will not watch those other shows other than the Academy Awards, of course, and mainly just because we have to talk about it the next day.
Yeah.
I thought Jimmy did a great job as per usual, and I thought the strike thing was kind of fun.
It added a fun flavor to it. It was loose and fun. You didn't know what was going to happen. I thought Jimmy did a nice job.
All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed that the strike is going this time next year when Jimmy hosts
the
AMAs
again. Well, it's funny you should mention that about the strike. Right, because the Writers Guild has said that they are going to resume talks next Monday.
Well,
the two sides will meet.
Sorry about that. Well, let's make a promise. They won't write on the AMAs.
How about that?
There you go.
Jimmy doesn't need them.
Evidently not. He'll do the whatever dance, the soldier dance.
Another touching moment from the show last night, before presenting Beyonce with the International Artist Award, Usher offered his condolences to Kanye West over the loss of his mother.
Before I get started with this wonderful award, I'd like to take a moment to recognize the loss of Kanye West's mother. My heart, my prayers, and all of our prayers go out to you, Kanye.
It was a sad moment, and then Beyonce accepted her award. Meanwhile, Saturday night, as you mentioned earlier, Kanye was performing in Paris. It was his first concert since his mother, Dr. Donda West, died a week earlier. And near the end of the show, he reportedly just lost it. He was about to start performing Hey Mama,
Oh, jeez.
And he said, quote, this song is for my mother. Then he bent over crying and he couldn't move. Eventually, his DJ and a guitar player came over to comfort him. The crowd of about 5,000 chanted for him and shouted things to encourage him, but he left the stage, came back about 15 minutes later to perform stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do this one, Hey Mama.
Yeah.
And then he shouted to the audience, I need you right now. And the public was screaming back.
Okay, so he had me and then he lost me.
I gotta tell you, you don't want to get into it with the grieving, but I'm not sure I'm in love with Kanye West. Well, first off, look, every person loses their parents eventually.
Right. Unless you get hit by a bus and they lose you first, and I heard that's way worse.
I do hear that's worse, although the good news is you probably don't know it because you're gone.
That's
but
right.
You feel bad for the guy. On the other hand, I guarantee there's a handful of celebrities that lose a handful of parents every year, and we hear not so much about it. The quiet grieving. Do you know what I mean? The personal grieving. The quiet grieving. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but cultural difference.
Yeah.
And my answer, by the way, before you ask me if you, the answer is no, but I've seen them on TV. A funeral in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
With the band and the thing and the guy with the trumpet.
I saw that James Bond. That's all. That's
I've
all
seen
I know.
Like 10 times on TV.
No, look. You're speaking to a guy who's already worked this out.
Oh, you really?
My family are not demonstrative when it comes to singing the praises of the Ace Man. Keep in mind,
how would I know that?
I could go on and on and on about stories of my family being less than enthusiastic about things verbally. I told my family, I may have been drunk, but I meant it. When my grandmother was explaining, as I've said famously, to the couple who didn't know me, who was from Texas, when we were eating for Thanksgiving dinner a few years back, that Adam was big and bursting out of his clothes in high school, and he wasn't very becoming, and you would have thought I was a kid who had a thyroid condition. You wouldn't have been picturing the captain of the football team.
Right.
I screamed at her, I want nobody at this table to deliver my eulogy, because I don't want somebody up there from my family going, he was a, you know, wasn't a bad guy. Fair to Midland, I imagine. Although not familiar with his work, I do hear from others that he was a semi-competent broadcaster, I imagine.
Job.
The show was on late, you know. We didn't hear it, and then the other one was...
really early.
Well, KLSX doesn't have a strong... not a powerful signal. It's not a, you know, it's no star.
Oh, please. Like, they'd know the call letters.
It's a very decent point. Yeah. Yes. My dad, for $10,000, couldn't come up with the radio station that I was on for 10 years that was it's pretty close to the number one English-speaking station in Los Angeles.
Yeah, hello?
If not the number one station in Los Angeles, and he couldn't come up with the call letters. So I don't want that guy up there. What I'm looking for is a Kanye West or just a heavy set woman of color. And if I have to pay for him, I'll pay for him. I've told my wife I'm setting aside some money.
I'll do
your
it on kid, the house.
Your kids will get money. Well, you can toss yourself in the grave and you'll take me. That would be awesome. But people think you're just trying to get into TMZ again.
No, I'll just say, are you kidding? Then I just do it with my pants down.
People know it's you. Yeah. I said to my wife, you know, a certain amount for the kids in the college, money from you. Everyone's going to be taken care of. And then I have $15,000 set aside. You are to go to Central Casting, get every set woman of color that 15 grand can buy you and bring them to the funeral. Then they toss, then they start falling on their knees, yelling, why take me, fanning themselves, collapsing, swooning, wow, throwing their hands up in the air, wow. Just wow, you know what I mean? People would go, Jesus Christ, this guy was loved. You know,
leave it to death row.
You know what's weird?
That's right.
Leave it to death row.
In biblical times, the mourners were professional. They were professional mourners, but they didn't keep it a secret. With me, I would hire mourners from another town.
Well, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Like I said, you can toss yourself into the grave. People are going to Bonaduce with another stunt.
I'll say one thing, and they'll believe me, and they'll print it. With a straight face, I'll say, the only man I ever wondered, is that guy funnier than I am?
I'll fight that because I'll say real serious.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I look forward to that moment.
No, did a good
and,
job.
I don't want my dad up there going, Alan was a great son and a...
That's out.
I said out. Oh. Well, anyway.
He taps on that horn.
He could kick a soccer ball. Like,
no, it's football.
Yeah, but they call
Pop
it...
Warner.
Yeah, but in England...
What's the last time you were in England?
Oh. Okay. I'm going to just play taps on the trumpet and cash bar.
Why
cash
could bar. It have been me?
You know what car he would probably take to the funeral service?
If anyone wants to hear more of the old man playing the horn, I'll be in the mint green Honda CR-V with no air conditioning and the cloth interior with 200,000 miles in it.
My mom will be in the green Jag giving the dead Corolla his due, like she promised.
Well, that'll be a good thing. That'll be a good thing. That's what I'll do. I'll tell Lynette to poke him and go in the middle of the eulogy. Alan was, he loved that soccer, huh? I have to give the Jag back. Son, I'm gonna miss you. I can't go on anymore.
What do you mean I have to pry Mrs. Bonaducci off his lifeless wiener?
I think there should be the dramatic reading of the will. And in it specifically states, Dad, you've driven your last day in that Jag.
Wow.
Hope you enjoyed it.
You know that show, Jag? It's the only one you're ever going to see.
Okay, let's talk about Fox News anchor Shepard Smith.
Ah, yes.
This morning's New York Times reports that Shepard Smith has signed a new 3-year contract. He will be paid somewhere between $7 and $8 million a year.
Seems like too much.
That's Corolla money.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Let's listen to him. Huh? Here he is.
And I wish it was.
He's just simply, this is a while back, just simply reading off the prompter.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots, about how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a block party.
Wow.
The New York
sorry.
Post. We're sorry about that slip up there. I have no idea how that happened, but it won't happen again.
No kidding.
Whoops.
Did you hear that guy firing himself?
I love it.
Oh, that happens, but it won't happen again.
He's got a little too much used car salesman in him for
I'll
me.
Bet.
I mean, a lot of news guys have that, but all right. Jeez.
He's going to be making more than CNN's Anderson Cooper and Lou Dobbs.
That's a good guy. I didn't know the cable had that kind of news cash. That's
big
nice.
Dough. Anchors yeah. make a lot of money.
I have a question, and if it's none of my business or not interesting, please feel free to skip over it. Somebody just told me the other day that Anderson Cooper is gay.
Yes. Well, that's really? What you hear.
That's what you hear, really? I never heard it before.
It's been
the whole Vanderbilt thing, I don't know that. But
it's been a while. It's been around
wildly,
for a while.
It's been reported. He's not out, and therefore, it's not
if
my business.
If he's not out, then I say he's not. I say because he seems like a tough guy to me, and I think he'd say it if he was. I know I'd say it if I was.
Well,
I'd be humming like crazy if I was.
He's very private.
I think it's understood that he is,
yeah.
But
oh, really?
I also like that part where who cares, and thus why we fixating, and it is interesting when you find out, and you do have that part of you as a human being that wants to go, ooh, yeah.
That's interesting.
But I think, I believe, and I'm not sure, I feel like if I were Anderson Cooper, I would be
shorter.
It is not. It's neither here nor there. I do my job. I do my job well. And then I leave the office and either hop on a dude or I hop on a chick.
Right.
That has nothing to do with what I do.
But
and I kind of
history.
Like that.
He could make history because when people talk to me about that, like, you know, Tom Cruise is so litigious about even hinting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? And well, an action hero, if you heard Bruce Willis turned out to be gay, it would really hurt his career.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he would hide it. I think Anderson Cooper, if he were gay, would be the first person that it didn't affect their career at all. It would not change my opinion of him at all.
Yeah.
And I like him. I like him a lot. I watch him.
Mm.
But I just heard the rumor for the first time the other day. But I think that'd be record-setting that a guy that famous, even in middle America, was not altered by the fact that he goes, you know what?
Well,
oh, by the way,
I don't know that we know that is the problem.
No, we don't know that. I just say everything like I know it.
No, I mean, we don't know if middle America would take to Anderson Cooper if they found out he was gay.
You think they go running? into the night?
I would hope they wouldn't, and I don't think they would, but I don't know. And I know there's a paranoia about it, and if there's a very, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. I think it's one of these things. You know what I think it is? I think it's one of these things, like when you get in a boy band and you have a girlfriend, they tell you to keep it quiet.
Right.
Because they like the idea that women think you're single, even if you're not going to date any of them.
Unless you're Lance Bass, and then you're in a boy band, and you have a boyfriend.
Right.
They also want you to keep that quiet.
Right. So I do think there's that element with many professional jobs. And it is weird how much your sexuality gets tied up into being an action star, into being a newscaster. It is weird that your sexuality gets woven into that. You'd think, all right, let the guy just say what's going on in Fallujah. Who cares what he's doing with Felipe when he gets home? That's alliteration, baby. That's why I get I get the big bucks.
I'm going to mention that at your eulogy.
Please.
That guy.
I'm still screaming the one man I thought actually might be funnier than I am. Then I'm going to scream, why not take me?
And well, the good news is you'll be the funniest man alive.
Yeah.
And then also, you're suddenly going to be a suspect in Adam's mysterious death.
No, that's right.
There are so many people that if they die, I'm the first suspect. I planned Gresham's murder perfectly. On the radio one day. I figured, I watched those CSI shows and I figured one out and I went on the air with it. If she dies in a boating accident, I'm screwed.
Well, here's a question to do with romantic partnerships. Would you pay $2 million to leave your partner? If someone offered you $2 million to break up with your partner, would you do it?
Do you have it on you?
According to a new poll, about one-third of people say that they would leave their partners for $2 million. When you break it down by gender, 36% of women say they'd end the relationship for the money versus 26% of men.
Now, do you get to leave any? Or because I've thought about this a lot. Do you get to leave any? Do you get to leave a note? Or do you just have to vanish for $2 million for the rest of their lives? They go, what happened to my one true love? Where'd they go?
I think you just mean you have to dump your partner.
Yeah.
You have to break up with them.
Probably tell
them. Because I think it's way worse to just vanish. Like you're gone
for
no reason.
Well, that has whole other implications, like search parties. And the next thing you know, we're exhuming bodies of ex-husbands and wives and things like that.
Either way, my answer is yes.
Yes?
For $2 million?
I'll tell you what, T.
Pick a kid, too.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, because I know there's a couple more good stories in here, and I want to get to it. I'll give you my opinion on the $2 million. 36% of women, 25% of men?
26% of men, yeah.
One girlfriend and pick one of my kids. I'm gone.
So 10% lower with the dudes.
Yeah. Weird.
So the chicks are more into the bread than the dudes.
Or we just need it more?
Or some of this is guys not wanting to talk about that, or... The other thing is with a lot of guys these days, people don't have that kind of money, but it's getting close. You know, if you're living in a house and that house has gone up in value and it's worth $1 million, if you split, a lot of guys are just doing the split math, which is if I split with child support, with the house, with the blah, blah, and the blah, 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 I'm into it for $1 million anyway.
Do you think people just do that math all day?
Damn.
We'll take a quick break. Be back the rest of the news next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Hebron, Connecticut. A 35-year-old man was arrested after repeatedly calling 911 and asking them to bring him beer. Definitely not a Jew.
Good times. T.
Yep.
Rest of the news.
Well, we were just talking about this new poll that says one out of three people would leave their partners for $2 million. More women than men say that they would dump someone for $2 million. 36% of women and 26% of men.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I guess maybe men feel like, they can make the money, but women feel like they're never going to see that amount. Also, if you watch 48 Hours and all those kinds of 2020 shows and stuff, you realize that people have people killed for $14,000 all time. I mean, most of those life insurance policies where hillbillies have other hillbillies killed by third-party hillbillies are for $100,000 or less. I mean, some of that stuff is like, oh, she had a $35,000 life insurance policy out on his wife. It's like, huh? Jesus Christ. That would be the biggest insult to me. If I found out that Lynette was trying to kill me, I'd be like, I'm a little PO'd about that. But if I found out the life insurance was $35,000, I'd be like, what?
No, I mean, who hasn't thought about killing you?
No.
And not just you.
I mean, no one.
Right. I mean, somebody has thought about, and when they do that in court, I heard him say out loud once, if you ever do that again, I'll kill you. I've said that to everyone I know, usually about waking up or breathing. You do that again, I'll kill you. It's an expression I use.
Hmm.
But to actually leave someone for $2 million that you love, I'm afraid, because I'm in a new relationship and I like her a lot, but I'm off like a ninja.
But you say relationship.
Yeah.
Now, if you say marriage, that's totally different.
Is it?
Well, I had $2 million the other day, and now I don't.
I'll tell you, because if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you leave, there's no paperwork and no money except for the $2 million you're getting. If you have a marriage and you leave, not so fast with that $2 million. As a matter of fact, your spouse is owed half that $2 million, so just take $1 million.
I think you're overthinking this.
Maybe I am.
I think the bit is you get $2 million to go.
Free and clear.
She doesn't get anything. She's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You get $2 million to go.
All right, I'm gone.
Nah, you're rich. You wouldn't go.
It's so hard to find the one. Is it really worth $2 million?
No.
It took me 29 years.
Do you know how many of the ones I found? I found so many ones, I'm in the hundreds.
It's easier for you, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Now, we were talking earlier
Wink at me once. I think you're the love of my life.
Thank you. We were talking earlier about Anderson Cooper, rumors about whether
he's the one. Ever $2 million, I'd leave him.
He's an excellent anchor. Simon Cowell has also sparked a lot of rumors about his sexuality, and he wants to set the record straight.
Really?
So he did an interview with the London Daily Mail over the weekend, and he said he is not gay. He admits he might be a little more feminine than the average guy, thanks to his mother. He said, quote, "If I was gay, why hide it? It's not as if the music business would be an off place for a gay man to work. And anyway, if I was trying to hide the fact that I was gay, I would be off playing rugby every Saturday, wouldn't I?" But he does say if he's a little more effeminate, it's probably my mother's influence. Now, he also denies that he's ever had any plastic surgery. He swears his hair is all his and that it's natural. He does not even dye it. He does admit to the occasional Botox treatment and then says every guy I know who works in Hollywood has had it now.
I've had it.
Botox, really?
Twice. Yeah, he says he's had some Botox.
Does it work? Yes, but for me, it wasn't worth it. Both times I had it on television. I had it on Entertainment Tonight and on the other half.
Did Dr. Jan Adams administer your Botox?
No, as a matter of fact, he didn't. Dr. Amron did one, and who's the other guy? And he's one of my better friends. It'll come to me. Anyway, it totally worked because the other half was down for about a week, and it takes 4 days to work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back to work, Dick Carr comes up to me from backstage, and he says, "Hey, I was just watching you in the monitor. Have you done something? You look 10 years younger." So,
really?
yeah, it works. But
That would be 95.
It works for 3 to 6 months, and I'm one of those guys where it's three.
Mm-hmm.
And every 3 months, I don't keep dental appointments till my gums are bleeding and I can't stand the pain.
Right.
I'm sure I'm going to go and get my wrinkles fixed every 3 months.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt. I'm not against it or anything like that. I would just never keep the appointments. Your face would always be changing.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It does work.
It doesn't work for sweating. I had it once.
No, it doesn't.
Somebody said, "Oh, is your forehead sweat all the time?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Give it a Botox injection and it won't sweat anymore." And I said, "Fine, bring it in." You got to understand, I know this sounds fey or like I'm consumed with vanity. When you work in a profession like ours, I used to work with a doctor, Dr. Drew, and I would just say, "Oh, well, bring the thing in." You know, it's not like you're driving across town and handing someone a bundle of money. You say to somebody, "Yeah, do it." And then a week later, you're getting stabbed in the forehead while you're talking on a microphone. So it's not so much vanity. I wanted to try to stop my forehead from sweating. I didn't know I was going to need 2,000 shots in my forehead to get it to stop sweating.
Like,
and it 14 did not.
At first, 14 shots right in a row at first.
If you want to get an area to stop sweating with Botox injections, they essentially make a grid.
Right.
And every quarter inch, you get a shot. I have a large forehead.
You do.
There's 75,000 shots I needed in my forehead, and it did nothing.
It works on the wrinkles.
Did you still wrinkle? Like, if you furrowed your brow, would it wrinkle?
It was weird because I think they do some sort of sub whatever that's not deep or something if they're doing the sweat one. Because I didn't seem to make, this was 5 years ago. I didn't have any wrinkles
now.
Well, I have some now, and I had none then.
You do have nice skin for somebody who grew up in the sun.
I just realized that. Why does he, what are you, 5 years younger than I?
I'm 43.
Okay, so you're 5 years younger than I. Look at my forehead. You could surf it. Okay, nothing on that guy's forehead. It's smooth as a ski slope.
That's good genes.
I haven't done a lot of thinking in my life. That's I've never done this thing, and I've not been perplexed much either.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of genetic. I imagine. Wear a lot of caps, but again, I don't do a lot of thinking.
This may seem gay for a guy stationed like this, but it's not. You know what's really cool? Wrestling.
That works
instantaneously, and it's a filler. Mm-hmm. See these jowls, these lines by my mouth? Mm-hmm. I know it's radio, but I really have those deep grooves.
Right.
And I said, I hate that waiting around for
nasal
4 days.
Folds.
And the doctor goes, yes. And the doctor goes, oh, no, this is instantaneous. And he stuck a needle in here. And I watched them go away right in front of my
face.
I couldn't believe it. And they lasted 8 months.
Wow.
That's the stuff they put in people's lips, too. Occasionally they overdo it.
Gretchen says that hurts worse than anything she's ever had as her lips.
Well, Simon Cowell says that he can't think of one person who is on TV that isn't vain. He goes on, it's the nature of the beast. If you're on TV, then you have a vanity for sure. Just admit it. Why not?
Nobody thinks he's gay, though. Does anyone think he's gay?
Well, there was some rumors about
Does anybody care, though?
Why would, first off, no one would wear those V-neck sweaters.
He makes a good
chest
point.
Hair pulling out that way. Mm. And no gay man alive would be caught in his sweaters.
What the bloody hell was that?
All right, what
An
else
unfounded
you got,
rumor. Okay, I'll leave you with this. At the box office, Angela Jolie's new film, Beowulf, number one in the country, earning $28.1 million in its first week in theaters, knocking B-movie off the top spot. B-movie came in at number two, making $14.3 million. American Gangsta at number three. Vince Vaughn's Christmas comedy, Fred Claus, at number four with $12 million. And this new movie, Mr. Magorium, I think it's Majorium, I don't know. Magorium's Wonder Emporium. I wonder how to pronounce it, but it made $10 million.
Oh, really?
It shouldn't if you can't say the name.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, and Natalie Portman.
Yeah, I would not have heard a thing about that movie, but I saw it reviewed over the week. I've not seen one billboard or seen
Is
one
it
commercial.
To be good?
No, it got weak reviews, and they chewed Hoffman a new a-hole.
Oh, really?
Yes, did not like him.
It's either the best of times or the worst with him. I guess that's the worst. Coming at number six, Dan in Real Life. Number seven, No Country for Old Men. Number eight, Lions for Lambs. Not doing well still. Rounding out the top ten, Saw 4 and Love in the Time of Cholera. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right, let me check the schedule here. We have What Can Adam Complain About? 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that. Also, I'm going to squeeze in my Britney thing and why she's now gone from zero to hero in the Ace Man's book.
Really?
That's right. I'm now a huge fan of the Brit girl. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do What Can Adam Complain About? And I'll break down the Brit game film next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for a little What Can't Adam Complain About? You call in with a topic at 866-901-ADAM and see how the Ace Man can complain about anything.
Adam, you cannot possibly complain about photosynthesis.
I wish there was a way we could shut down photosynthesis when we've had enough. My gardener was cutting my hedge. It seemed like only yesterday I was staring at the hedge yelling, grow, damn you, grow! Then I blinked my eyes and it is strangling and raping my wife.
What can't Adam complain about? Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, let's do this. I'll work myself up into a lather, and then I'll tell you why me and the Brit girl are simpatico. That's right. I've talked some crap about Britney Spears over the years. Said a few things I'm not too proud of. Oh, yeah, my belt. Thanks, Paul Bryan. Forgot about that. But I have literally, actually, Brit has turned the corner. Literally, on me. Literally.
Who?
I've turned the corner on the Brit girl.
Did she turn left?
She did turn left, and I'm going to tell you why I love her and why everyone in news is a full-blown pussy. We'll do that in a second, but first, what can Adam complain about?
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
First, let me say this quickly to the haters out there who suggest that I screen the calls or I steer the calls. I've read your little snarky remarks on the message board. First off, Teddy, super creepy phone screener Teddy, have you and I ever had a conversation about who should be on What Can Adam Complain About other than Let's Not Take Repeats? Oh, have I ever said I want this kind of call or I don't want this kind of call or get rid of this guy or grab that guy? Have I ever steered you in any way, shape, or form with any incoming phone calls on this show? I learned your name last week. I didn't even know who you were. You're creepy guy number three. I just figured you were another Mike. And I couldn't remember your last name. Get on your mic, Mike, and tell me if I've... tell the listening audience if I've ever had a discussion, or Danny or Teresa, about the kinds of phone calls we want on this show.
No, I've never been instructed anyway as to what kind of phone calls you want for What Can't Adam Complain About.
Yes, I know. So the folks that love to say, in a way, it's flattering.
Right,
I get with Teddy and I tell Teddy what I want. I tell him to get rid of this guy and give me that guy. And then I go and work out all my answers. I complain during the commercials.
The flattery is, though, that it's so good that people would think it's set up. That's the flattery, right?
Yeah, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But there is no effort put into the show. Jack Silver, if you're listening, you should know that not one calorie is burnt on this show other than the time we do the show, which is right now. I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to work my way down. I don't care what the topics are.
By the way, just so you know, Adam, Amy asked me not that long ago, when you go to an I love you Adam call to an I hate you Adam call, does he do that on purpose? I go, no, man, that's call one and call two.
That's the way
we
do it.
I've never seen a guy do a better show with less effort. That's how you know a guy's good.
The only thing I will do is if there is five I hate you or I disagree with you calls and two I love you, I will get to the five I hate you calls first, just because I want to know. Yeah. I'm curious, number one. But number two, I just think it's better radio to argue with someone rather than have a butt-kissing competition. All right, I'm starting at the top. AJ, what can't I complain about?
Can't complain about a hole-in-one.
Hole-in-one. All right. First, I can be quick about it. I've never had a hole-in-one. End of discussion. That's an easy one. So, even hypothetically, I can't imagine it, but I've never had a hole-in-one. I can complain about it. But as I was sitting at Kimmel's yesterday talking to a guy named Paul about golf and then talking to my agent about golf, I thought to myself, what sport do people talk more about than golf? Oh, I was at Pebble Beach. Oh, I was in Palm Springs. Oh, I hit a par on the back nine. I looked at the guy and I said, I bet there's 10 guys in this room that are great at softball. Nobody ever discusses softball. You find me a sport that people talk about more than golf. Oh, you may play football and be great at it. You may play baseball and be great at it. You may play any sport and be great at it. But find me one where you sit around and bore the bejesus out of people. And if you think golf is a boring sport to play, try talking to people who don't play golf about golf. It is a boring on boring implosion. And I thought, you know, guys who play golf, you know why everyone hates your ass? Because you never stop talking about playing golf. And again, watching you walk after a round ball while black guy drags your clubs for 9 hours as you catch a buzz out in the sun is not scintillating conversation for the ace man. Thank you. Hearing people, you know, it's the number one sport. Number one sport guys talk about is golf. Number two, skiing. And they do it to rub it in your face. Oh, man. I was over at Mammoth last winter. 6 foot of packed powder. Awesome. Hot toddies in the lodge, hooked up with a couple chicks, busting moguls. What'd you do, Ace Man? Cried and masturbated. Huh. We were up on the top. We did the Black Diamond Run. We actually played golf on 6 foot of black powder.
They do that.
Oh, if these a-holes could combine their love of talking about skiing with their... And how about the J-O's that still wear their tags? Ski lift? I got the park. I still got my ski lift on it. Yeah, that's from 1974. Yeah, I still got the ski lift. I couldn't remove it. You can't remove. You can remove the tag. Your jacket came with a tag on it. You had no problem cutting that baby off at the ski pass. Oh, look how much richer and better I am than you, you sons of bitches. Screw all you. Monty?
Yeah?
What can I complain about?
Beautiful women, jumping on trampolines.
Girls on trampolines.
Good times, huh?
Yeah, good times. I was working during those shoots. I was almost never, and neither was Jimmy. When they did Girls on Trampolines, we went over to Elysian Park over there by the LAPD training facility, which is right by Dodger Stadium. That's where that is, that drive up to Dodger Stadium. Parked him in front of a couple of palm trees and always filmed it on film because we thought it looked better. Doug DeLuca, the big fat guinea I work with, would sit there drinking out of a brandy snifter and smoking a cigar and yelling at chicks, you know, hey, see if you can kick your heels so high they touch over your head, while he sat there with a bullhorn on a folding chair. Jimmy and I were out in Conejo at pro wrestling camp getting our ass kicked by guys called the Hillbilly so we could make the mirth on Friday's show. So, Girls on Trampolines, I enjoy watching Girls on Trampolines. Unfortunately, the first time I saw it is when you saw it at home. I never was there.
Quick question.
Yes.
Did you ever bone any of the girls on the trampolines?
No.
Extra torture, man.
Yes.
He owned them. He paid them.
And
he didn't get them.
Was not physically there for any of those shoots, and neither was Jimmy. Jake?
How's it going, Adam?
Good, Jake.
You cannot complain about vacation time and or this four-day weekend coming up.
This is going to be tough because I'm looking forward to this, and I love it, and I can do a two-parter. First part is this. My problem with any time I take more than 3 days off, I forget what I do for a living. And whatever I do, meaning nothing for the 4 days, feels about right. I don't understand why I can't just sleep till noon and then walk out to the mailbox in my bathrobe with wood and get a check and then walk back into the house and watch more TiVo. It feels about right to me. I just think, yeah, this is the way life should feel. And I really do think my mind stops working. Like, I always think to myself, I'm going to go back on Tuesday or Monday or whatever day we go back, however long the vacation was. I don't even know if I have anything to say. I don't know if I'm going to open my mouth and it's going to be like, and then I'm going to go, hey, T, what's in the, hey, Kanye, what? I'm not sure anything will happen, but the main problem is I don't enjoy it like a vacation. I immediately snap into this is life. This is how I am. This is where I'm going. I'm like a dog. When you drop the dog off on the vet at the vet, the reason the dog is miserable is the dog thinks I'm going to be in this cage in this weird office that smells weird for the rest of my life. It doesn't understand, oh, in 6 hours you'll be going home. No, that's its reality. That's what happens to me 2.5 days into the vacation. I now think I should just get paid a king's ransom to walk around my house in a bathrobe and complain with a boner. What a gig. All right, let's talk to Mike. Mike?
Yeah?
What can I complain about?
How about a well-flushing toilet?
Wow, important to me right now.
You know what I love? I love a nice commercial well-flushing toilet where you get the whoosh of cold air. Whack you right in the third eye there when you're sitting there, just whoosh, the whoosh of cold air. Well, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is this. It's a catch-22. You see, we have a drought. We have a water shortage in this state and in many states. And the ones that work right, well, they require few gallons of water. The ones that don't work, they have the low-volume ones, the water-saving ones. The water-saving ones, as far as the toilet goes, are pretty much made for a hamster to drop a deuce into, not a man. There's no way you can chug down Ozzy's flapsteak all day with the beans and rice and the tortillas and then sit into that thing. Or you can, but 9 flushes later, you've actually used up more water than the 1 flush. It would have taken it away. See, here's the problem with everything. People go, hey, everybody, I got a barbecued potato chip with 0 calories. And you go, awesome. That's awesome, because I love barbecued potato chips. I just don't like all the fat and calories. Give me some of that. And then you chomp into it and you go, oh, wait a minute. This is the styrofoam packing the potato chips came in, right? No, no. It's got Lubrina in it. It'll give you the runs, but there's no calories. And you go, well, this tastes like crap. And they go, yeah, but it's barbecue potato chips. No. And you go, oh, I see. I'm being punished. I see. There's no free lunches in nature. It's a test. It's catch 22. And then someone goes, hey, I got myself a shower head over here. Yeah? How's that work? Doesn't use any water. Your shower head uses 20 gallons every 5 minutes. This one uses a gallon an hour. And you go, wow, I love the sound of that. I'm going to save money and save the environment. And then you get up there, and it's like a spider monkey's taking a leak on your head. It's like a spider monkey stole a six-pack of Primo beer, and it's taking a leak on your head from the 70s. And you're going, oh, well, I've been standing on it for 20 minutes now, and my hair's not even wet yet. I can't get a lather going with the shampoo. And they go, yeah, but it saves water. Yeah, but it doesn't work, just like the chips that don't work, just like the toilet that doesn't work. I want to save water, but I got to go number two, baby. And I come number one right. When it comes to going number two.
And remember, thank you. He saves it all day till he gets home.
That's right. That's right. Let's go to the last one. Carl.
Hi, Adam. How you doing?
Good. What can I complain about?
I'm going to flex some serious muscle here. Topical, this week, Thanksgiving leftovers.
You know, my friend, you would have beat me on this one. I would have bowed to it and said, you're right, because there's nothing. Look, Thanksgiving is one of the only holidays that taste better cold. You see, most meals are good that night, but the next day, they drop off quite a bit. Go try eating yourself some cold Thai food or some cold Indian food or cold Mexican food. It doesn't work very well. Our forefathers, the guys that invented Thanksgiving, the guys who landed on, they drove the Pinto into Plymouth Rock, and they sat down with Eastern Indians, and they said, they celebrated what they called maize back then. That was corn, and they broke the bread with our Mexican brothers, you know, back then over there in Jonestown, and they said, or maybe it was Cooperstown. I don't remember exactly.
It was Jonestown where they ate each other.
The point is,
correct the mundo.
They said, let's come up with a holiday that not only tastes good tonight, but even better tomorrow. And thus, the cold turkey would make a nice sandwich out of the cold turkey. Or you take the cranberry sauce, which holds up quite nicely cold, actually better cold. And then the greatest of all the pies, the pumpkin pie. Nothing better than that slab of cold pumpkin pie with your coffee for the next breakfast, or even better, when you slide the chair back from the table and you announce to the world you'll never eat again about 5:30 or 6 in the afternoon, you undo your belt, then you're up at 2 a.m. and you're being lit by the holy light of the refrigerator, just illuminated. You know, just you and the light of the fridge, just being lit. Everything else, the world is asleep, but there's a piece of pumpkin pie in there. It's got your name on it. Nothing better cold than Thanksgiving as far as holidays go. Tough to complain about, but let me tell you this. I got a phone call from my agent 2 days ago, and he said, hey, good news, baby doll. I forced him to call me that. He said, good news, baby doll. I said, what? I said, there's a national commercial. They want you to do a national commercial. Now, I always talk about crap, and then I get in trouble for talking about crap, so I'm not going to talk about the crap so I don't get into trouble. It's just a national commercial. Nothing big, nothing small.
But
just,
it's a
national commercial. It's going to pay a lot, but it means my fat face will be all over TV for about 4 months. I've done these things before. Every time you go to Kimmel's house, they run these spots, and they run them during the football games, and then everyone laughs at you. Now, as I announced last week, I've never been fatter. I'm 205 pounds. I've never been 205 pounds since I played football in high school.
Lose the weight, Chad.
And we've also decided, through listening to the show, that the camera adds weight, and especially your head, which is
pounds.
Probably all you're going to see of me on these national spots. So
look
I
at
thought,
the size of that boy's head.
As soon as I hung up the phone with Baby Doll, I think, well, no eating between now and the national spot, which is 2 days after Thanksgiving.
That's a huge noggin.
That's horrible.
So I thought, when is the spot going to shoot? And he's like, it's the Monday after the holiday break. I said, Thanksgiving? I said, that's right, baby doll. Counting the money already. And I said, God damn it. Because I announced to myself that I was going to go on an eating tear, the likes that no man had ever seen. And now I'm screwed. Because I want to lose some weight. and I don't want to power pack the carbs before the thing, but now I have to. So now I've decided no eating until Thanksgiving, and then I'm going to gorge myself, and then T's going to come over and teach me how to vomit.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
All right, we'll do that, and then Danny can poke me in the ass with something sharp. Let's hope it's not attached to him. And we'll do it. So Thanksgiving, no better time to eat. Couldn't complain about it. Not this year. Not going to happen this year. Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Danny.
I missed one thing.
Hmm.
So if you're not going to eat, does that mean you got the spot? You're going to do the national spot?
I am going to do the commercial.
Why not, man? Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it's just...
Adam makes things
out. A job, no auditioning.
No.
Adam makes things that are in his life smaller than they actually are. To be offered a national spot that he says, oh, plays during the Super Bowl and the football games, that's like huge. That's a big compliment that they didn't call an agent and make him read stuff and stand on one leg.
I wouldn't. I don't audition. Not because I'm a snob, just because I'm bad at it. And
you got some dough.
And philosophically, it's the same reason I don't buy lottery tickets. I don't want to be a person that gets in line and hopes that somebody smiles on them. I want to go out and create something.
Right.
And then hope someone's nice.
But still, congratulations on a national spot just by being asked. That's one day's work. You put one of your kids to college on it.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But of all the days,
hold on. How much is junior college?
I don't know about that.
They're not going to be
smart.
But
college is expensive. It's like $30,000 a year now.
My wife, there's nothing that pisses her off more than when she starts talking about and college is gonna. And I look at her and I go, did you go to college? She goes, no. I go, well, I was put on academic probation at junior college. So I'm not so sure these kids are going to school. And she's like, why? How can you say? And I'm like, how can I say it? Look, if you're 5'1 and I'm 5'2 and we're talking about the kid being in the NBA and who's going to pick out the sweat outfit, I just want to be the voice of reason right now and say, we're not mental giants.
Right.
There's a decent chance these kids ain't going to a 4-year school.
No, and the divorce thing, it says child support, and then there's a little caveat about then if they go to college, and I just laughed at that one.
Yes.
It is like, yeah, that's going to happen. The whole bunch of doogies will be running around UCLA right now. I can see it.
This
yeah.
is such a cultural difference because no matter how poor the Jew, you're expected to go to college. You will be going.
See, right. In the Bonaducci family, no matter how poor you are, you're supposed to be brilliant and make money at it.
Here's the thing.
I failed and just made the money.
I mean, my dad dropped out of CSUN, State University.
To 4-year junior college out here on the West Coast.
Pops dropped out, but I was still expected to go.
Can I say this about the Jews? Possibly.
The wily North American Jew or the...
This is the cunning Eastern European Jew.
You start saying yes if... Hey, can I say something about the Jews? You should say yes if you bone me, yes if you give me $100. Start throwing a yes if in there.
I think the Jews, while not the most... Here's the thing. You tell me if I'm wrong about this. The Jews do not heap praise on their own children. They try to keep their edge a little bit. Like, you know, a Jewish kid brings home a report card, got a B+ in algebra. Mom says, how about an A next time? But then mom picks up the phone and calls one of her friends and goes, guess who got a B+? You know what I mean? There's a lot of bragging to outside people, which bores the hell out of us, but they don't brag to the actual person that could use it, trying to keep the fire lit or something. I don't know what it is. Now, half of college is because you want your kid to get an education, and the other half is because you want to tell your friends your kid got an education.
Yes, my parents don't care. They lack this. But my grandmother, it is as if you're describing her personality to a T. We would sit around, and she would brag about her friend's granddaughter, Debbie, was a figure skating champion. I wanted to kill myself.
Right.
But I've never figure skated.
You threw up right then and there,
and
right?
And then somebody else's grandson.
And then you picked the Xanax out of the throw-up and ate it again.
Does it digest a second time? Please tell me it does, or I'm wasting
money. Come and ask me.
I'm just saying.
I'll take care of you.
They go.
Sadie's grandson went to Harvard,
right.
And you're going to hear all about that.
Right. So did Dr. Jan Adams.
So they wanted you to, go to college. Not your parents, but a lot of Jewish parents want their kids to go to school A, because they want a better life for them, and then B, and maybe even C,
bragging rights.
So they could do the bragging rights thing.
It was so intense when it was just my grandparents. So when my grandma had me for the summers, she would take me to the park, and while the other kids were playing, she would force me to read the book that had the letters and sound them out. Mm-hmm. And then she would tell me that other people's grandkids were already sounding out the letters. Yeah. I just wanted to play.
A lot of pressure on
we did
you
that.
People.
Unfortunately, we did that to Isabella until we found out she was dyslexic. Because I am, but I have it kind of figured out. It's not that bad, but I handed it down a generation worse. And we used to do that to her. Do you know how like rough that is on a kid?
That's got to be painful.
It was.
On the upside, Boggle and Scrabble are fun. Mm-hmm. Because
not with dyslexics, they're not.
If
you're
you
just
get a
cruel.
Good word, everyone. I remember. I'll never forget this. I was playing Boggle with my grandparents, and I got the word mauve. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather was so delighted.
Really?
I'll never forget that. Yeah. Hmm. It's like, look how smart
look
she is.
Look what little fatty really? Big schnoz did.
Look,
you know, little dumbo fatty
honestly,
big schnoz
did. He did call me Butterball.
I'm going to go out and go three rounds with a guy with no arms. Because that's what playing me at Scrabble is like. Just boxing a guy with no arms.
Really?
We need to take a break. It's Waldo's
hey,
here. I'll tell you what. I want to do my Britney thing, and then we'll bring Ozzy in to do his review of Beowulf.
We still don't know why you and Britney are simpatico.
Yeah. Well, if you guys are going to be lovers, you need to tell us.
I will tell you why next.
You say, and I say, you say, and I say. Let's call the whole thing off. You like,
yay!
And I like, you like,
yay!
And I like,
yay! Yay!
Let's call the whole thing off. Wow!
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, Oscar Wilde was in here to hear that.
I knew him.
He's gay!
Never would have been proud.
Funniest gay guy in the world, though.
I thought Simon Cowell. No, wait a minute. We need to take a few minutes to talk about something here. Now, Ozzy's coming in with his Beowulf review in a second. But first, I was reviewing Extra over the weekend. I think I was watching Friday's Extra. And they did the whole Britney thing. And this poor chick's under the microscope. And again, and my mixed feelings on her. One is, well, she doesn't have a whole lot of talent, so who cares? On the other hand, if she runs over the paparazzi's foot who will not leave the front of her car when she's trying to leave, and I got to hear the news line, she rams into another pedestrian, that's BS. If 80 guys stood in front of your car every time you tried to pull out of your driveway or pull out of a Starbucks, you'd run over a lot of feet, too.
I personally feel that guy and those guys are committing crimes.
Yes.
Aren't they?
I don't think it's long before one of them gets very seriously injured.
And I will laugh like a hyena.
Yeah.
And look, here's the crime they're committing. It's the crime that does not need a court. The bumper of the Mercedes will be judge, jury, and executioner. If you want to stand in front of a bumper of a German car with a chick who's hopped up on prescription meds, who's playing a cider jug, wearing glasses at night, and trying to hold her kids into child seats, she's fashioned out of a Quaker Oats cereal box. And some duct tape. If that's who you want to stand in front of, knock yourself out, you pussy retards.
Or get knocked out.
I hope that you are run over so that we cannot have a further future generation of idiots with cameras who stand in front of cars. You see, that's how life used to work. The yaks that were dumb enough to hang around the water's edge when the gators were mating, yeah, they got eaten, and then they didn't have any yaks that were stupid enough. Now the yak sues, and the kid gets an embryonic implant, and now we have a future generation of retarded yaks.
Wow.
Huh?
No, I got it.
You got it. All right.
Scares the bejesus out of me.
Britney is under the microscope, and again, some her fault and some not her fault. Now it's this driving thing. So here's the story, and I'd heard it like last Wednesday and Thursday. Britney runs a red. Britney runs a red. And I thought, geez, with kids in your car, sweetie, that's a little dangerous. But if you listen, we'll find out what kind of red she ran.
Mark, it is bad news for Britney today. A judge rules she's too dangerous to drive with her kids.
Yesterday, with the hearing on her driving looming, Brit inexplicably did it again, wearing sunglasses while driving in the dark. Definitely not recommended. However, the final straw for the court may be this video of Brit running a red light. James asleep in the back seat. Her court-appointed monitor hiding in the front seat. But X17 Online Vice President Brandy Navar says there may be more to this incident than Britt's bad driving.
Some photographers who work with us say that they heard the court-appointed monitor in the car with Brittany telling her, go, go, go. It was a green light going straight. It was a red arrow turning left. She was turning left. Maybe there was some confusion there.
Yes, she was not running a red light, as a matter of fact. If she was running a red light, then everybody who lives in the San Fernando Valley who drove down Mulholland and passed that intersection for the last 45 to 60 years before the effing light was up there would be just as guilty and just as guilty of endangering their children and themselves and pedestrians and motorists as she was. You understand, the arrow got put there a year ago, a month ago, 2 years ago. 7 billion cars passed through that intersection when there was no arrow. And guess what they did? They turned left when it was safe. She didn't run a red light. She turned left when it was safe. As a matter of fact, if you just flip your visor down, you'll not even see the arrow. You'll just see the green light, and you'll also see no oncoming traffic. And that's why the court-appointed attorney or court-appointed whoever said
monitor
said go, 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 because it was safe, safe, safe. She didn't run a red light. Running a red light means there's traffic coming the other direction. That is a big deal.
Yeah.
You run a red light, you're going to get T-boned by a UPS truck. This is not that. This is you staring down a highway, not seeing any cars coming and turning left when it's safe. I not only have done this numerous, numerous times, thousands of times, as I say every time, it's my greatest achievement as a human being. I do it with my kids in the car all the time. I do it all the time. I want to teach my kids to turn left when it's safe. Not when the man says it's cool. Not when Villaraigosa rolls off his reporter over there in Guadalajara and says it's cool. But when you see no cars coming, because after all, that's all you have as a human being. That's all you have. All you have is the ability to go, this is unsafe versus this is safe. I've been turning left with great success, amazing success. I've been turning left in this city for 25 years, and now in the last few years, I can't do it. Well, I just do it, and that's what Brittany did, and that's why we're now simpatico. And again, I beg everyone within the sound of my voice to ignore those. You know what? Give me the scout salute. That's right. Give me the scout salute. Do that scout salute. Do that thing where you hold those two fingers up and just maneuver them where they cover the arrow.
Okay. I see. I gotcha.
And that scout's honor, you'll run that thing. Now, there can't be cars coming toward you. That's the caveat.
Right. Just look.
You just look forward. You see no oncoming traffic. Give the scout salute. And promise to turn left. That's what I do. And you retard pussies out there who are claiming, oh, let's go wrong with me breaking the light. God, what pussies. You tell me, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. You tell me what's more dangerous. I was on PCH ignoring one of these arrows on Saturday. You tell me what's more dangerous. You sitting in your wagon with your kids and your wife and your family and sitting in the middle of PCH, because when you're turning left, that's where you are. You're in the middle. And the car's going past you at 60 from behind, and the car's coming at you at 60 miles an hour. And they're passing by you between 18 inches and 36 inches. That's how fast the guy on the cell phone who had a couple of pops over at Shutters with Mel Gibson made fun of a handful of Jews and decided to get back to his place over there by the county line. That's how fast they're passing you, a combined 120 miles an hour. Now, you tell me what's safer, you pussies, for you and your family. Sitting there and waiting and hoping that trucker got enough sleep so he don't rear-end you. Or you not seeing anybody coming and turning left. Again, just do it, pussies.
I gotta go with not seeing. If I may back you up for just one moment.
Yes.
When I was 16 years old, first time I got pulled over, I had had my brights on. Mm-hmm. And a car was flashing its lights at me for a very long time as it was coming at me. Turned out to be a cop. Made a U-turn. It was the first time I ever been pulled over. And I showed him clearly, because I didn't understand, the way at my exact height, the steering wheel blocked the light that said your brights were on.
I couldn't tell what he wanted. I couldn't see it. I could not see it.
Wow.
The steering wheel was right in front of that spot that said, your brights are on. You know, that little...
I'm going to do the same thing except for with duct tape.
But you got... What are you going to say? Hey, you're not tall enough to see.
The Speedo had duct... well, sure, I put it there.
Yeah, but I couldn't see the speed.
All right. Now, Angie... Remember Ozzy was going to do his movie? Yeah, Ozzy chatting up somebody in the hallway. Mr. Hey, Show Business.
Ozzy.
Yeah. Ozzy's going to give his movie review.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
Ozzy and Ray, you hang with a great group of people.
Yeah, never get tired of cutting them checks. Oh, we have an intro.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Ozzy.
Hi, good morning.
Don't bring food over on Thanksgiving.
I take it ready.
You start cooking it already?
No, I take it ready the order.
You already took the order?
Yeah. What are you making?
What are you making for Thanksgiving?
I take a little turkey, you know, 12, 14 pounds.
Every day is Thanksgiving, by the way, with Ozzy. So when
a big turkey, right?
Actual Thanksgiving comes around, he goes insane. All right, Ozzy, you saw Beowulf?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
Okie dokie. Go for it, man. The movie that I'm reviewing today is Beowulf. Yeah. Beowulf star Anthony Hopkins as King Hogar. Right?
Hold on. Anthony Hopkins?
I didn't even know
is
that.
King Hogar.
I don't even know this guy. How do you say that, Paul?
I read this book, and I don't know how to pronounce what you're
trying
to say.
It's a lot of Danish names. This is going to be great.
All right.
It's like Hrothgar.
Oh,
that's
Hrothgar.
Hrothgar. Ray Clinton is Beowulf.
Mm-hmm.
And Angelina Jolie is Grendel's mother.
Right. You know, we don't do the Yuli. We do the G. Jolie.
Jolie.
Right. Hey.
Beowulf is a systematic film.
Hold on a second. Let me say this. You know what? This is why I hate being white. This is why I hate being white. You know why I hate being white? Tell you why I hate being white.
All the privilege that's thrust upon you.
Why are
you
interrupting me?
No.
I hate being white. I hate all white people. Because if I go into a Mexican restaurant, I go, give me a couple of tortillas.
Some polo.
And some polo. Someone would stop me immediately, be a white person, and go, it's pronounced tortilla.
And
they pronounce it tortilla and pollo. It's tortilla. Right. But if you say Angelina Jolie, and I go, it's not Jolie, it's Jolie, then the same white guy would stop me and go, they pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, but remember how I did their tortilla? Where's my Jolie?
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
If I'm giving you your tortilla, I want my Jolie.
Ozzy, you can do Jolie, right?
Jolie.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
I die! You can't do a Jolie. Give me a Jolie.
Jolie.
All right.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
All right, sorry.
Beowulf is systematic film and of half animation and half fantasy. About one warrior that does have a fear and does panic. Who is ready to kill the beast in one kingdom.
He's going to kill a beast in a kingdom.
Yep. The warrior was the beast killer. So now for the seduction to the grander mother, play for the famous anorexic Angelina Jolie.
She's an anorexic.
Famous anorexic. She's thin.
Now, Bald Brian, you saw this movie, Nerd Around.
Me and Lynch and Chaffee had a nerd three-layer dip.
You
watched this movie in 3D.
You fruitcakes all went out to IMAX.
Sprinted out of here.
And put
the
drip trays underneath your seats and then just had at yourself.
Thankfully, they had already installed the drip trays under the
seats. With butter-flavored lube.
Isn't Beowulf listed as one of the 100 greatest books of all time?
I think everyone's read it, right?
Yep.
Not the ace, man.
That's my boy. I'll just be a genius.
For one kingdom, for one power, for immortality.
Good word
one
on
son
you.
Turned into the beast.
One son.
One son.
It turns into the beast.
The beast. Ah. Yeah, beast. One kingdom don't have a soul or a spirit.
No soul. No Jewish guy. No soul. No soul or spirit. Soul. Yeah.
Soul.
Mm-hmm.
In the end of the day, Beowulf left the reviewer cold.
Hey, Ozzy.
Yes, sir.
I like the word immortality on you. Give me that one again.
Immortality.
Yeah, you see? T, you know when you're out shopping with one of your Yenta friends and she pulls out a sweater and she walks out of the room and you go, that's slimming.
Yeah, it suits
you. It shows off your bust and it makes your ass look small. That's like, I feel like immortality is that nice form-fitting sweater. It's a nice word on Ozzy. One more time, T.
Immortality.
Nice. Sweet. All right, go to my house and start rattling them pots and pans. I got a technical question to ask you off the air, Ozzy.
Yep.
I got an oven problem.
And you hung?
Yeah. Got a lot of people coming over for Thanksgiving. I need my oven happening.
What hung? You have a 5-7 hung.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a multi-oven owner. All right, I'm going to go home and put my head in the one that works.
Yep. You are the landed yentry.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, it's Monday. It's Music Monday. Topic... because Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Songs with a family theme.
Mothers,
fathers, sisters, and brothers. Family themed. Best and worst. Music Monday next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's another Music Monday, and with Thanksgiving approaching, we'll play some of the best and worst songs that have to do with family. It's Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, that about says it all. Thanksgiving coming up. Focus on the family songs, either mama or daddy theme named after. Again, we're not too uptight. If there's some discussion of the topic within the topic, then we're fine. It qualifies. I am going to do my first one with one of my favorite singer-songwriters. This is a good one. It's a guy by the name of John Hiatt. This is called Your Dad Did. When the sun comes up and you stare your cup of coffee up right through the kitchen floor. You feel like hell, so you might as well get out and sell your smart ass daughter door. So he carries you through a day in your life, which was just like your dad's was. Now, I love this line. That's the line I quoted to people when everyone at CBS who hired me got fired a year ago. I said, well, the guy that hired you just got fired and your job's expired. They just ain't told you yet.
I can kind of relate in reverse. All the guys that refused to hire me are fired now.
That's the way you want it.
I can relate. All the guys that hired me probably don't remember my name.
That's not a bad way to work, kid. Keep your head down.
Best BJ they ever had, though.
I'm under the radar, and there's a good reason I'm under there.
So he's basically just singing about you doing the same thing your pops did, basically. Now you got the family. Now you got the wife. All righty. Oh, it's a good line here. Tell you got to turn up. Ah, forget it. See the old man's ghost coming up on chipped beef on toast. Yeah. So good one from my good buddy John Hiatt, but now...
Is he a good buddy of yours, really?
No.
Good, because I threatened to break his face.
Wrong guy.
Is that, I always do that? That's not the guy that hit on my wife?
No.
It's not the guy that sounds like me.
We had this discussion.
Yeah, I know, and I always get him wrong.
You're thinking of John Waite.
Who sounds
Tom
like
Waits?
This?
That's
or Tom Waits.
Waits.
Oh, this is where, this is where it went. It's like there's three levels.
Of Waits.
Right. No, this is a Hiatt. There's two Waits and one Hiatt.
Right. Huh? What band was Hiatt in before he was John Hiatt?
Nothing. You're thinking of the guy that was either in the Babies or the guy who just sung solo.
Babies. Why do I always get that wrong? I'm going to punch some rock star in the face that doesn't deserve it. Oh, there's no rock star that doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, you're thinking of John Waite.
I don't know why. No, they don't go together.
Name
really.
Sounds close enough.
Thank you for bailing me out of that, Adam. I
all right. Now the bad. Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates gets a pass. It's almost like one of them's handicapped or something. There's like one of them have Down syndrome or something.
Go ahead, guy.
Yeah, does the short one have Down syndrome? Because they have a few good songs and they have a few horrible songs. Oh, listen, just dig this. Oh, this doesn't sound like it's from the 80s, does it?
Timeless.
He's a family man. Yeah, now the John Hyde song I played, he was from the 80s as well. So you didn't have to do horrible music in the 80s. It's just they chose to. And all I'm saying is do we have to give Hall & Oates that quick pass? Ah, geniuses, let's move forward. No.
Now, why does he need to be left alone?
Well, you know how women are all man-eaters?
Yeah.
That's a song we learned. That's a lesson we learned from Hall & Oates.
Right.
You push him too far, he just might. He's a family man.
Oh, he might cheat.
He's going out, and
I got it.
There's ladies because they're man-eaters are on the
ground. I got it. So lay off. And I'm trying to do the right thing.
Right. Meanwhile, these guys, they never stop talking about ladies and out on the prowl and women being man-eaters, but their record cover has them dripping with glycerin, pressing noses up against each other. It's called H2O.
I'm close to my hair.
How weird and gay is that record? Okay, I'm not going to go anymore. Just listen to this. This is a hot song. All right, everyone. This song made it. This was a top 10 song, and my beloved John Hyde song didn't chart. That's why I hate this country and all the stupid people in it. All right. Let's go to now. We are all over the road here. We're showing some range. This is.
Are we showing range? Is that what we're showing?
I think that is what we're showing here.
Feels like we're on the range. A little country.
Uh-oh. This'll do. This is
a family.
I thought another one was coming, but it doesn't matter.
Now, is this good or bad to you?
It's bad. Because she says, I'm a little bit country. See, if she said, I'm a little bit country, I'd be cool with it.
But the I'm?
But she says, I'm a little bit country, and it makes it bad.
Also, is Donnie that rock and roll?
Oh, man. That guy's not banging a groupie. He's trashing a hotel room, man.
Do you know?
That guy's mainlining Jack Daniels on the road with Ozzy and Motley Crue.
He's never had a who's it?
He's never had a BJ?
Never. What? Never. And when his wife would never give him one, nor would he ever ask. Quote, unquote.
How much would that blow your mind at age 40 to get your first one?
He's my age, too. He's actually coming up on 50. I think he's a year older than me.
Wow.
And never had a Hummer.
That's all I need to know about that religion. You can stop right there.
Right.
Like, you don't have to go. When I'm looking over religions to get involved with, you don't have to keep going. You can just stop at no BJs, and I'll just get right off that bus.
I've met one super cool woman in my whole life, and I'm saying, I'll bet he gets them and just don't tell anybody. Glenn Beck on MSNBC or whatever it is. That guy's a full-blown Mormon.
Really?
Yeah, and he talks tough. I've never seen that's what I'm saying. I think Glenn Beck's a full-blown Mormon.
Well, like I said, it'd be a shame for me because nobody receives like the Ace Man.
You're the best at it.
I like to blow my own horn, bar in the pond, but nobody receives aura like me. And if you think you can, then bring it. Pull up a folding chair and let's see.
I don't think I'm going to get as good of a deal here because nobody gives like the Dooch Man.
I'm not surprised you would put in a lot of effort. Your heart's in it.
Hold
you're
on.
Passionate.
Well, wait, I don't mean on the Ace Man. I mean on
I got
girl.
A brand new roller
you.
Skate. You
got
a brand new key. Let's see how this works.
I know it says your name on the door, and I know I made certain agreements, so if you insist, but that's it. I mean, it's not a contest
so
with
no
everybody.
One gives,
you and
no one gives like you.
You say, but could you, would that translate to a male? I don't know.
It's
a different skill.
No, I would stick with, because I have an ego issue, and I think they're going to tell their friends, hey, that's okay. I'm going with Adam now. I'm giving the world's best receiver one now, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Adam's going to go tell people that I gave him one. Mm-hmm. And I want the world's best receiver to say, you know what? Bonaducci gives a hummer like nobody's. That may be the best Bonaducci hummer I ever had.
I will say this to any of you folks, any haters listening out there, you don't believe me? You think you receive better than I do? Pull up a beanbag. I'll bring a cooler Miller Chill, and we will see.
Are you one of those guys? You have the balls to do that?
That's right. I like to drink my Miller Chills on my beanbag, receive my oral, and again, bring it. Bring it, bitch.
Do you know what I do?
Hmm.
Let's just use Amy as a name. Too bad she doesn't smoke, but I get her beer. She loves her beer. She loves the L word. And she should be smoking
to
with the
show,
other hand.
Not
to
show. You tell her.
Yeah. So I just put her other arm on the arm of the couch. I put her feet up on the coffee table. She drinks her beer, and I give away. And give
you
through the
whole
show.
You put on her favorite show and uh-huh. give her a cold beer.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And then through the whole show or until nice she can't take it anymore.
Don't be ready to move on.
We're going to move on.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to talk about girls, Brian. Sorry.
Oh, put a shirt on, Danny. No one wants to see you.
Now that one, you got me.
All right. We'll go to the one I thought we were going to. Paul Bryan was right, as per usual. Now, something from Babs.
Papa? Can you hear
I don't know what you're talking about. This lady can sing. She can blow.
So
all
what?
Right? While we're on the topic.
This
is somebody who can blow. She's a great singer.
Can you find
yeah, but anyone
I can't
who does.
Buy this.
All right, but hold on. The hum a little bit country
yeah,
and
annoying.
The super breathy pop.
Can you she builds. Does, it's a build.
It's
you
a
start
breathy pop.
And then you build.
Mental.
By the way,
any
good. I'm this close to calling my dad Jim. I would never go with a papa. So blowhardy.
Oh, great.
Papa. It's a period piece. It takes place at another time.
Yeah, I'm going to get a period if I listen to this anymore.
You actually might start bleeding if you listen to this more than once.
My ears. All right, we'll do my last one, and then
no,
we'll...
No, I want to hear more.
We'll get into
Wow. Is it suck up to the king day or what?
It's like, for the Jews, it's a moth to the flame. When they hear Barbara, they just... Like,
so Jews and Moes.
She'll burn you.
You can't deny
if you're a Jewish Mo, your head explodes when you hear that woman.
Yeah, yeah. And your mom kills herself. All right. Let's go. Oh, no, let's not. You're right. I almost screwed my folks up again because that was a bonus. Well, should we do? Let me give you a shot of my bonus good.
All right.
I had a bonus good one. I got another good one that I love, but I had this bonus one. I don't know why I thought of this, but I thought of it. Tracy Bonham.
It's a good song.
Number one. You guys remember this song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm deciding.
Kind of got lost in the Alanis Morissette shuffle.
Yeah.
But she goes nuts on her mom. She's writing her mom a letter, just wanting to know her daughter's doing. Strad into her Gibson.
This letter takes a turn.
Yes.
How good this song was. I couldn't even remember it.
New news theme.
Yeah.
This is my favorite. How did I lose this song?
This is your theme, baby.
This is great.
Put this on your outgoing message.
You throwing one and my ass hurts, and I think we've got the perfect team.
Yeah, maybe she's calling her mom. Either way, she's screaming. Yeah. Everything's fine.
That's such a nice build when you sent me out to see the world. Like you see her sending her out to Switzerland for finishing school or whatever chicks do. And then I'm a big slut and I'm dirty and I'm hungry. That's a nice letter home to mom.
That song's over 10 years old now. That's how old we all are. But for my money, could dust it off and give it a spin every once in a while. I haven't heard it in 10 years. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. T, you play that. Bald Brian, you put that into T's iPod. She's going to have a nice cathartic ride to TMZ. We'll
hope
take
I'll
a break.
Crash into a tree.
When we come back, we'll do the good and the bad. We have T's and Danny's as well. Lots of surprises ahead. Music Monday next.
Fame, songs about family. If you got one in mind, call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. T.
Yep.
Your turn, girl. What do you got in the good department?
Well, I debated. There are much better written songs, but this one's just fun.
Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Promise the option of cowboy or doctor is not usually the only two on the table. It's cowboy, garbage man, cowboy ditch digger, cowboy grave digger, cowboy something with digger in it. But not doctor or lawyer. Nah, I was going to be a cowboy. I was going to run cattle from Yuma over to Texas. But I decided to be a physician. So where's your kid?
What you don't know is that Alan Dershowitz was sat down by his mother and told, do not be a cowboy. What you should do is go to law school. And that's why he did.
Smart, smart conversation. All right. That's a good one. Danny, what do you got in the good department?
I think you will like this. Not only because it's a good song, but there's a good story that goes with it. A little Steely Dan. Do you know it?
Is it the Steely Dan song?
Yep. Did you get it yet?
I'm listening. I don't know this Steely Dan song. Oh, I do?
You might not know it from when it came out. Hear that?
How about a kiss from
your cousin Dupree?
Right.
Remember the movie You, Me, and Dupree?
Yeah.
Yeah, classic.
Stolen from this song, and Steely Dan wrote a very funny letter to... what's his name, the star of that
Owen
movie?
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, about stealing their song, Cousin Dupree, because it's about a lazy cousin that just moves in. Mm-hmm. And they wrote a really funny, scathing letter. And then he tried to kill himself. And so they wrote him a really funny letter.
You, Me, and Dupree, the Owen Wilson movie, is based on a Steely Dan song?
According to Steely Dan,
like,
yes, Dan,
like the Steely Dong would do as well, too, if you know the story about the band, how it got its name. And this is from the 70s?
That's what they say. They say they stole the song.
And did Owen Wilson write that movie? Because if that's true, he should have killed himself.
Well,
that's
that a horrible movie. This is, dig this. That was Steely Dan's second letter. After he tried to kill himself, he wrote back, can't you do anything right?
No way.
Steely Dan wrote back.
That's not my Steely Dan.
Yes, they did. They wrote, first they wrote, you stole my song and made a terrible movie. And then later they wrote back, wow, you can't even complete the mission of killing yourself. You suck at everything. There's something
about
that.
Where'd you hear that?
I read it.
Wow.
Yeah. I told you, I dated a music freak. And when she comes up with, I knew that this song was written by, Cousin Dupree was stolen by that movie. I had heard that. And I mentioned it to her, and she found out all this information. We found these two letters. One says, you stole my song and made a crappy movie. The other says, you tried to kill yourself and you suck at that, too.
Me, You, and Dupree was just a sort of waste of film about nothing. I didn't know Owen Wilson wrote that movie.
I don't know if he did.
I'm not positive that he did, but he's the star, and he's, you know, directly, if a guy is late coming in here, we're often mad at him, and it's his publicist's fault or something like that. Mm-hmm. They just picked whether he wrote it or not.
No.
They wrote him, you stole my song, and made it into a crappy movie.
Wow.
And then later wrote back, you can't even kill yourself. Aren't you good for anything?
Oh, man.
I like Steely Dan so much better now.
I always dug Steely Dan.
Yeah, great band.
I guess they would play. They were like session musicians that formed, and I don't know if there was actually ever really a touring band. I don't think there was a real Steely Dan. I mean, a touring Steely Dan. Okay, now, to my good before we get to the bad. A little something from a show I was watching over the weekend holds up nicely. Quincy Jones.
Really?
Quincy Jones did some cool, funky stuff. Well, it's got the word Samford.
And son.
And son right in it.
Well, it's family for me.
Listen to how funky this song is.
I could not miss this show. I loved this show. They had some good times.
I couldn't either.
Loved it.
I had just got done finishing Roots, the 21-part miniseries. Right. And my family... Nobody hates white people like my family. My family, not so much that they love black people or Chicano people, they hate white people. I think it's because they're white. I haven't quite figured it out, but we watch Roots, and then we'd watch Sanford and Son, and we'd watch The Jeffersons, and we'd watch all the other shows, and I was like, damn, I hate being white. And it was great, too, because it was the episode I saw over the weekend is where the square white cop would show up. He had his black cool partner,
right.
And he had Lamont, and he had Rollo, and he had Fred Sanford, and then the white guy shows up, and he'd go, well, far up. And the guy'd go, it's far out. And he'd go, all right, well, I guess it's time for us to divide. Split. Okay, well, give me four. Five. It was great 70s humor where white guys were super. Maybe Richard Pryor got the whole thing sent up when somebody decided that doing dumb white guys was really funny, and white guys and black guys love dumb white guys. And every sitcom had a super square uptight white guy in a sweater. Far up. All right.
Mr. Drummond was pretty square.
Is good.
Didn't the goofy white neighbor on the Jeffersons marry the tough African-American neighbor lady, Lenny Kravitz's mom?
Lenny Kravitz's mom in the Jeffersons was married to an uptight white guy. And Lenny Kravitz's mom was also married to a white guy, but... The character she played was married to a super square white guy.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think she married that guy in real life, but Lenny Kravitz is the product of another
very confused existence.
Square white guy. Yes.
It explains a lot of the pot smell.
All right. That is the good. Now let's go with our bad, creeping toward number one. T.
Okay. I'm going obscure. Do you guys know this musician, Wesley Willis?
Not a
he is basically a giant 6'6", 350-pound schizophrenic with
a
fascio.
I'm crazy in the rabbit's ass.
And he had a cult following.
Oh, that guy.
Around Chicago in the 90s.
Yes.
How could I not know this guy?
He recorded something like 1,000 songs, then he died at 40.
He was a crazy man and had, like, stuff on the internet.
Exactly. When file sharing got started, he became huge.
He was one of the first guys when they passed around, hey, here's something crazy that somebody two cubicles passed down to me, now I'm going to pass it to you.
Well, here's one of his songs.
Oh, no.
My mother is a dope
fiend.
My mother smokes paraphernalia as a speech. My mother buys cocaine from a dope man. She loves to smoke that crack pipe.
It was the day the music died again when he passed on. Still, rather hear this than Family Man or Maneater.
True. I almost hated to put it on my bad list because he's got a great story, this man.
He uses so much metaphor and simile, I don't know what he's actually saying in the song.
What does he mean?
Yeah, what does he mean?
You can interpret it a variety of ways.
Yeah, hard to tell. Steve, that is so sad that you even know this.
Or just so out of her realm.
All right, Danny, what do you got? Because I got to get to my number one.
All right, now, we've actually used this song before, and I tried very hard to stay away from songs we've done before, but nothing is a family song that will stay with you through a Thanksgiving or two like this one.
Cats in the Cradle?
Yeah.
Damn, yeah.
Yes, he is.
That's almost enough.
They used to write songs about Cradle the Grave, going all the way through.
Even
what
it
your
was
dad
about the
did.
Pony. The pony was born and lived and then died.
Yeah. And it was, and every song was about how you didn't understand what your dad did when you were young, and now you're a dad and you have kids, and now you understand. I ain't playing that way.
No?
No. I'm going to be 10 times as good a parent as my parents were. And believe me, that will be a layup.
Yeah, hello?
My children were born with a silver spoon in their nose.
I think that's nice that you plan to be a better parent. Now, well, but will you...
I don't have to plan.
Yeah, you don't have to plan.
No, but Adam, you've already not done the cats in the cradle because you haven't said you weren't there for me. Now you can't have a Jaguar. Quite the opposite.
All right, Thanksgiving's coming up. I don't want to hear. And listen, my dad listens to the show now.
What happened? He used to not listen.
Cut this?
I don't know. I think we start talking about him. He started listening.
Oh, great.
And I got to deal with it. So let's just, Dad, please, put on some smooth jazz or something. Come on.
You listen.
Hell yeah.
Write it out. Why do you, what? You become a fan when I'm 43? Come on, buddy. Smooth jazz. Relax.
You know, you're so right, but when you tell them don't listen, I think most real people are compelled. Like Amy said, no matter what, don't mention the three-way we're going for this weekend. Because my mom, she says she won't
smart
listen.
Smart that you've honored that.
But Pat Shiner, this is my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a three-way with a 25-year-old school teacher. If I held that back.
I thought you were getting paid for the three-way. I know what you meant.
No,
I mean, this is your... Okay.
If I have a story about a three-way with a 25-year-old school teacher, and I don't tell it, you should dock my pay.
Right.
You know what I mean? You hold that stuff back. If we wrote this show down, that's different.
Right.
But this show kind of spills out of our mouths... So, that's my addition to not having someone
who
listen.
Who are you having a three-way with?
I'm not sure yet. And in that case,
I'm having one, too.
Because, no, I think I know, but I'm sure that she would not dig. I haven't even met her yet.
Mm.
So I'm not sure that she would dig my certainty that this is happening, because we're kind of tricking her.
You know, you're friends with Christopher Knight, right?
Yeah.
Get Chris on the three-way and blow her mind.
How funny would that be? Ooh. But the thing is, she's probably Amy's age. She'll probably go, "Who are you old guys?"
No, you have to drop some peyote. You have to watch a Partridge Family and then a Brady Bunch.
The one where I'm enlisted into the army, so I'm standing there in my underwear anyway.
In the blowing of the mind.
Okay, I'll hire a video camera if you promise not to show it to anybody. I'll bring you the video of it.
I think you should release the video.
All right,
I want to make a sex video. I'm just not famous enough.
Oh, what do you mean you're not famous?
You
enough?
Because, would you pay
Kim Kardashian wasn't famous until her video.
Yeah. I'd rather see you.
Yeah, and I do weirder stuff than she does.
All right. I'm skipping mine because I didn't even like mine. I like my number. I want to get to my number one song. So, T, give us your number one.
Okay. I have to admit, I kind of liked the original, but this cover takes me over the edge.
Back when I was child.
Celine?
Yeah.
Before life removed all the
air. She enunciates so
much. I'm proud to say I don't even know this song.
You will.
And dance with my mom.
Dancing with the mom.
This was a touching song, though.
Yeah.
Luther's version was nice.
He wanted to dance with his dad, right?
Yeah, he wanted to dance with his dad one last time.
What was that movie? I Never Talked With My Father.
It's a Tom Hanks movie?
These are touching. This is a touching song.
I didn't even know she did this song. Was this a big hit for her?
I think it was on a Luther Vandross album.
A tribute album?
Silver throw himself off the building.
This is right in our demo. Celine Dion covers the music of Luther Vandross.
All right. Well, it's horrible. Let's go to your number one, Danny.
Okay. This was a big hit. People really liked this song. It's just... I'm not one of them.
We are family. F'd out.
I got all my sisters with me.
Not a bad song, just F'd out.
Yeah, plus they've got 9-inch fingernails that are all glittered out and diamond studded to them.
Yeah, was good 70s time though. This is all pre-AIDS. Everyone just got loaded and humped without condoms.
It was
awesome.
Right,
except for me.
It conjures visions of drunken sorority girls with their purses in the middle of a circle dancing.
I can see that, but I never went to, like, frat parties or sorority parties because I stuck out so much at this point. But at clubs, I thought the implication was we're all family, so everybody just take your pants off and start doing it.
I think it's clear.
Yeah.
You're good.
All right, now.
As we walk over.
We got my number one song. Here's one that some of you kids may have never heard. Well, let's start it. It went to number five.
It wasn't his fault.
Number five. Daddy.
Daddy, please don't. We're gonna get married. Just you wait and see.
Run, Joey, run. A lot of songs about running in the 70s.
I can't erase.
It's a top 10 song.
The sound of Julie's cries.
Daddy shot him.
Late that night, she said, Joe, don't come over. My dad and I just had a fight, and he stormed out the door. I've never seen
over and door don't rhyme. I have a news flash for David Geddes.
Oh, we'll tell Poison. Every rose has its thorn. Every night has its dorm.
Yeah.
He's got a gun, so run.
Joey, run. Joey, run.
Daddy, please don't.
It wasn't his fault. He means so much to me. Daddy, please don't. We're gonna get married. Just you wait and see.
All right.
Sounds like Sigmund and the Sea Monster is gonna start any second.
Lots of songs. All right, this. Should we just hear the whole song?
We can talk over it.
All right. Lots of songs that told stories back in the day. Yeah. Well, anyway, Daddy shot him.
Watch out! He's got a gun and she stepped in front of me.
Wait a second. She steps in front, and he shoots her. Shot her. Oh, no. Shot Julie. Julie fell. Shot rang out. What he gets for being vindictive.
She's covered with blood. Here's what she said. Last words.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault. He means so much to me. Daddy, please don't. We're gonna get
now Joey's got to run. Oh,
how can he run? He can't run.
Don't talk over the angels.
He was shot in the spine. He's crawling on his fingertips now.
She was shot.
She was shot. She got in front of him.
He's taking on the lamb now.
He's just going to leave her there bleeding?
It's her last words. When someone says their last words, that's how you know they're dead.
You're right.
It's nice that they can preface it with, these will be my last words, so I know when to run. Yeah.
Never thought yours out?
That'd be a nice, no, had to be a nice pitch for the label. Hey, I'm going to write a song about a guy who gets called by a chick and his dad shoots him, but the chick dives in front of the bullet. It's called Run, Joey, Run. Really? How about just life on the road? Or, hey, how about
the horse I ride?
How about the gypsy Cajun queen from New Orleans?
Some rambling?
How about
sailing?
You ramble?
Sailing?
Can't you ramble? What? Oh, ramble. Joey ramble. What if Joey rambled away?
Yeah.
Now I think we got a song. And then he nailed a gypsy in New Orleans while he was rambling.
Don't be a hero. It's also important, too.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys got a lot of good suggestions, too.
I feel bad
about you. James Brown, Pop's got a brand new bag. And it's Danzig Mother, Bad Religion, 21st Century Digital Boy, Squeeze Box by The Who. Thank you for all of that.
That would be real quick. What the hell? They went out of their way to call Brian, Aaron, Dave, Jonathan, Dave, Bruce, Angela, and Joe called in with some excellent, excellent ideas.
Thank you. This Joey ran his mouth too long, so... Mia Copa. T?
Yep.
News?
We're going to talk about a man who did something wrong with a condom and it killed him.
Mmm. Good times. We'll hear that story next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
We've got the buzz on the mysterious illness that's killing millions of honeybees.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, T-Bone.
Hey.
How about the buzz on the news?
I'm hungry. I'm dirty. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
Cathartic.
Nice.
As you know, Adam, there's a writer's strike. But still, your friend Jimmy Kimmel hosted the American Music Awards for the fourth time last night.
Mm.
And despite the Hollywood writer's strike, he pressed on. Here's what he had to say at the top of the show.
I'm Jimmy Kimmel. This is my fourth time hosting the show, and my first time hosting it drunk, so I'm very excited to be here. Actually, this is going to be a little bit loose tonight. Thank you. I assume that's for me. But this is going to be a little bit loose tonight because I'm a member of the Writers Guild, and we're on strike, and so I'm on strike. I mean, it may not look like it, but I'm striking right now in my heart. So I was not allowed to write any jokes for tonight's event, which is good for those of you here in the front area, but bad really for the rest of the world who has to sit through made-up crap.
Jimmy did a great job. Everybody I knew went, but I didn't go. And then I started to feel bad.
Why didn't you go?
Well, getting up at 4:30 kind of screws everything up, but I hate those events. I don't know why. It's weird. I just don't like going outdoors.
You didn't hate the Grammys when you went with Natalie Maines. I thought of you this weekend because I watched that documentary, Shut Up and Sing.
Mm-hmm.
I love Natalie Maines.
Yeah.
She's a hero.
Well, I did, however, go to Jimmy's house and drink all of his beer and eat whatever food
while
anyone
he was gone.
Over while he was gone. And I had a humiliating experience, which is I grabbed one of those new Budweisers that come in the metal bottle.
Yeah, how are those?
They're thin metal bottle, aluminum.
Like Red Bull size?
They're aluminum cans shaped as a bottle, and they're like tall boys or something, and Budweiser makes them. And I grabbed one out of Jimmy's cooler, and I grabbed a Bud Light, and I was standing there watching the game, talking to a guy, quietly twisting on it. See, you ladies, you don't know, but guys, when we can't get the twist top off a beer, it is essentially us bending over and spreading our cheeks in front of all the men that are in the room.
It's the smallest wiener in the gym shower.
Yeah, you can try to open a thing of pickles or screw off a twist top beer bottle and hand it to a guy and go, hey, could you handle this? No one looks at you in any askance, or they look at you as any lesser person, but as a guy. You can't hand a beer bottle that's a twist off to a guy and him go, yeah, there you go. What's the matter? Scary? You're going to break when you press on nails, my lady? You can't do that. Well, this is a Budweiser, and all Budweisers are twist offs. So I sat there watching a game, and I did it with my hand. Then I did the super quiet thing where I grabbed my sweat jacket sleeve, and I didn't want anyone to notice because that's using a tool, you know?
Yeah.
I started twisting on it. I was just watching it, and my wrench, the skin on the inside of my hand was coming off. And then I said to a guy who I figured looked sympathetic and maybe like he wouldn't judge, you know? I needed a judgment-free environment for this. And I said, how do you the twist off, it's killing me. And he said, oh, those are pop tops. And I said, everything Budweiser makes is a twist off. Yeah, not these. I did the same thing. Mark it on the bottle? I don't know. I almost broke my hand trying to get the one off 10 minutes ago. See that one up there? Yeah.
Don't open that one. It's shaking.
He said, yeah, that's Mike's. He just abandoned it. I said, why would they not make it a twist off, number one, and number two, when every single thing you make is a twist off? Please mark it that it's not a twist off so every single guy doesn't. Great product, great beer, caught a nice buzz, but almost killed myself and my masculinity trying to get the top off.
New shape of a bottle?
I think that's the reason why they didn't do it, but when I'm in charge, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to just go, listen, people, we're either going pop top or we're going twist off. I can't take another me wrestling with a bottle that isn't a pop off and then wondering if it is. I'd rather all be pop tops rather than twist offs or vice versa. Whatever it is, let's agree on it. We're going with it. It's not, metric and standard. Oh, you use Celsius. I use Fahrenheit. Oh, you use meters. I use yards. No, we just agree on the one and we move forward as a nation. That's what we need to do with pop top versus twist off.
I can give you a secret.
Yes.
On a personal level, one is I'm always bleeding. My hands are always bleeding and I'm always injured. So I can say, hey, dude, would you mind opening that? I hurt my hand. And nobody thinks twice. But for you, Mr. Big Giant Person, take it. put the cap into your forearm, push it into your forearm,
right,
twist the bottle, your skin will grip it,
right,
and it will come off.
Except for I would have put a hole in my forearm yesterday.
Well,
because
if you didn't look for the arrows.
Budweiser makes a product that does not have a twist off. Usually breaks down amongst between imports and domestics. That's how
is
you
that what
can
it is?
Tell. Yeah, domestics twist off, import not, unless you go top shelf stuff like Sam
know.
Adams.
This is a great endorsement for Budweiser, real quick, because I love them and they're a great sponsor and I want them to stay sponsors forever. But the new shaped cool bottle that I've never seen made me go, I should just have one. I can have one beer.
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to because I'm an alcoholic. It's like, why make the new pretty bottle? I want one.
I know. That's how I feel every time they come out with a new M&M's flavor. You're doing that just to
fuck with me.
Yes.
Now, here's a man.
Step Monster's Bones flavor now.
Well, that always tastes delightful.
Sorry, team.
A man in East Sussex, England, decided he was going to get high off nitrous oxide, laughing gas.
Yep.
I don't know if you've had that at the dentist, but it is delightful.
I've had it in garages.
Have you?
Dead show.
Yeah. People steal tanks from medical supply places, and you sit in a garage and get really high.
Please put those people in touch with me, because I had a wisdom tooth removed, and that was the greatest high ever.
Yeah. It's good times.
Well, this guy was trying to replicate that high, a 31-year-old man, but instead of doing it the way a normal person would do it, i.e. in their garage, he decided to inhale it out of a balloon.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way you do it.
He used a condom.
Oh.
Now he's supposed to get one of those, like, punching balloons, like the kitty balloons.
Yeah.
This guy took a condom. He filled it up to its maximum capacity with 3 cans of nitrous. Mm-hmm. Then he pulled the entire condom over his head.
Mmm. Howie Mandel style.
Wow. If that would only happen to Howie.
Yeah.
Well, he quickly died from suffocation.
Mmm.
After an investigation to whether maybe there was foul play last week, the coroner ruled that the death was being classified as a straight-up suicide.
Here's the thing about kids. It's a fun rush, don't get me wrong. But if you have this plan where you're going to go to, like, hey, Danny,
yeah,
I got an idea. I just ripped off a nitrous tank from a medical supply place.
Which, by the way, weigh hundreds of pounds.
I know. I used Ray and Ozzy to help me.
I used 3 bucks too.
I threw it in the back of my pickup truck, and I ran the hose in through the split window of the cab, and you and I can go in there and get really high in the cab of my pickup truck when I run nitrous into it. It's an awesome plan, except for the part where we both fall asleep, and then we die, because nobody wakes up and shuts off the nitrous tank. See, a lot of nitrous problems are people do that thing where they go, hey, I think I'll stand on an A-frame ladder and suck off this nitrous tank. That's awesome, but you pass out, and then you fall off, and then you hit your head. So all the nitrous-related stuff has to be done in an environment where, A, you're not going to fall down and whack your head,
right,
and B, you don't suffocate on the glove, or I should say the condom that you pulled over your head. Howie likes to pull the glove.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? That's what this guy did. He passed out with the nitrous, and then his oxygen was cut off by the condom
over
his head.
For you and I in the truck, I've got a one-word answer for our problem.
I had a brother went the same way, by the way, but yes.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Hostage.
We get a hostage?
We get a hostage. As we start to nod, our hostage doesn't want to die, so he turns it off.
Yeah, I'm not counting on him having Stockholm syndrome, though. I'm counting on him fleeing when we pass out.
No, we duct tape his ass to the tank.
Mm-hmm.
If we go, he goes. We leave one hand free on the nozzle that shuts it off, and as we start to fade, he turns it off.
Okay, I could just drink my red wine.
Yeah, sometimes that's simpler.
You guys suck.
Well, here's a guy who got nabbed. Another celebrity nabbed for being drunk. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers nabbed yesterday by Irish cops. Apparently, he got rowdy in the Dublin airport. He's being charged with public drunkenness and breach of peace, according to the Associated Press.
Ooh.
Reports are... That's right, he was in Bend It Like Beckham. He was the coach. He played Elvis in the miniseries.
Yeah, no, he's been in,
Match Point.
He's
with Scarlett Johansson.
He's a really good actor.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that he had problems with alcohol, but apparently in January of this year, he checked into a rehab facility, and then in April, he returned for treatment, and I guess now he's had some more trouble.
Yeah.
I'm worried about rehabs and things like that. During my introduction for my comedy show, I just realized I edit together a bunch of talk show hosts introducing me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Dr. Phil, cuts through it. It's about 90 seconds. And I realize he says, He's been in rehab three times. That's his part of my introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I've also been on the Dr. Phil show three times.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence? Or does meeting Dr. Phil send you straight to rehab?
Well, I like the Tyra Banks intro.
I can't find it yet. I gotta get it.
Well, I can certainly...
I got on audio, but I need that video for our Partridge in Pain. Yes. I need that so bad.
I do too, Bald Brian. Yeah. What do you got for me, Baldy?
Struggling.
All right, T.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser, QCNN.
Bald Brian, I'm not going anywhere until I hear a Partridge in Pain.
Oh, look what I found.
All right.
Coming up, a Partridge in Pain.
I need that. Then I'd walk out right then.
Now I want to hear Panty Party. Oh, that's, that's an easy one? All right.
Kick my fat ass. Today is a panty party.
She covers a lot of ground, that girl. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Oh, no panty parties for linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, Kirk Morrison.
Coming up, a Partridge in Pain.
They lost again.
I'll give you $100 if you have a DVD of that.
We'll talk to him. We'll talk a little NFL football next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a little sit-down with Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison. Brought to you by PerfectPushup.com. Get ripped fast for under $40.
That's intercepted. Picked off by Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Kirk Morrison.
What's up? What's up? Good morning. Good morning.
Good to speak to you as usual. I would like to say that we don't need a Kirk and a Kurt. And since you're the biggest Kirk I know, I say we get rid of all guys named Kurt. Kurt Schilling. Kurt Schilling can be Kirk Schilling. That's right. All. It's very confusing. I thought that announcer, when he said you got the interception, called you Kurt for some reason. Hey, Kirk Morrison, sorry about the loss. It seems to be becoming a habit. Every Monday we talk to you guys, and this was a tough one because this was Culpepper going back to Minnesota, and this is a game that you guys definitely could have won.
Yeah, we were in position to win the football game. We made some mistakes on both sides of the ball. Special teams played pretty well, but on offense we didn't capitalize on the turnovers, and on defense we didn't stop them running the football. And that just sucks because what our record is, we know what it is. It's 2-8.
Well,
but at the same time, we just feel like we're so much better than that.
The last five losses have been by an average of 6 points, so less than a touchdown. Now, Kirk, I'm going to need you to do a couple of things. First off, you start worrying about Kirk Morrison and going to the Pro Bowl. Because that's what's going to salvage the season. That's what's going to salvage it for you. And when your teammates get to see that one of their fellow players went to the Pro Bowl and is enjoying himself sipping a Mai Tai in Honolulu, they'll be happy for you. You can go to ProBowl.com and you can vote for Kirk. Kirk, as we talked about, I think has three picks, led the team in tackles once again yesterday and even fell on a fumble, 10 solo tackles. So you're having a great year, even if the team isn't. And again, it's time to start focusing on you, Kirk. Forget about this team sport crap.
No, you know what? I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for the team. You know, definitely I'm not out there by
those
myself.
Losers? You'd be 8-2 if it wasn't for those losers instead of 2-8.
Adam, there's no I in Raider.
There is no I in team, though, and I know that. And one thing is that, you know, we got a lot of guys out there who are busting their butts every day. I mean, mm-hmm. We're just, for the hard work and the sacrifice that some of the guys that we go through week in and week out, it's just not coming, it's not coming true for us.
I know
myself pretty much. I mean, I go through a lot during the week, you know. I'm studying the film. I'm doing a lot to where I'm doing more than, you know, I think the average player would do just so I can be successful on Sunday.
Well, that's why you're good and the rest of the team needs to honor that. By getting out of the way and letting you do your job. Hey, can I ask you about a teammate, Joey Porter?
Uh-huh.
Joey Porter is he's on the Raiders. He was a rookie when I went and did a bit for the Raiders, and I did a man show bit with the Raiders some years ago. And this guy's a phenom. He throws a frozen rope laser beam. Have you seen him throw the ball with both hands?
Yeah, he is ambidextrous. He can throw the ball with both hands.
Now,
I've never seen a man He can get up off the ground without putting his hands on the ground. It's the weirdest thing you've ever
That's seen. What I was going to say. Now, everyone, yeah. I'll do my best to paint the picture of radio, and you almost have to lay down and try it in order to appreciate it. Danny, you can try it. This guy, Porter, Jerry Porter can throw the ball. First off, he can throw a laser beam. He can take a football and throw it with his right hand, and then he can throw it with his left hand, which is really hard to do. But Jerry Porter is 220 pounds, right?
Maybe a little less than that. He's kind of skinny these days.
Well, he at least when I saw him do this, he was 220. He was about 6'3", and he has about a 30-inch waist. I mean, the guy's scary. Yeah. Now, when the guy would get tackled, he would be wearing a helmet, shoulder pads, obviously, and he'd be on his back.
Right.
Yes. So, Danny, you got to lie on your back. Mm-hmm. Now, you're holding, pretend you have a heavy football helmet on and heavy shoulder pads on, and you're holding a football with both your hands on your chest.
Right, got it.
Now, without doing anything with your upper body, you take both legs and you throw your heels next to your hips. So you take your heels and you throw them back on the ground next to you. Nope. You got them underneath you like you're going to do a sit-up.
Right.
This ain't like you're going to do a sit-up. You collapse your knees in and you put your heels on the ground next to your hips.
I can't even get there.
Most white guys can't even put their heels there. So you lie on the ground and you put each heel next to your hip on the ground and then pop up.
Ready?
That's what the two... That's
what I can't even. You're explaining it right now. I understand what you're explaining.
Is it insane?
It's probably the weirdest thing you've ever seen in your life. Sometimes he makes catches like that in practice, and everyone just looks around in awe, like, how does he do that?
If you could, if you use both hands and like some duct tape and some surgical tubing, you might be able to get your heels next to your ass when you're lying on the floor.
My eyes watering. I got up about an inch and a half and fell straight back and knocked the air out of myself. My eyes watering.
It's one of these things where somebody said, I will give you 5 years, $5 million to train, and Jackie Chan. You couldn't come close to it after 5 years of training. Am I right, Kirk Morrison?
Okay. Jerry, he's unbelievable. I mean, I always try to get some of his secrets. I say, Jerry, you got to give me some of the secrets, man. I work out a lot, but this guy is just a freak of nature almost.
I know.
It's scary to see, but, you know, definitely he does work hard at it, though. You know, some guys just give in, you know, the talent, the flexibility, but this guy really works at it, and it's unbelievable.
Tell him to pull one of those off when you guys play KC this weekend.
Yeah, he did one. He actually did one yesterday.
Did he? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Oh, in the Sunshine Band?
I was on the floor at Jimmy Kimmel's house, trying to explain to a bunch of other drunk guys who didn't care because they were just looking at the TV set the whole time. If you see Jerry Porter do that, your mind will explode.
How drunk do you have to be to ignore Adam Carolla on the floor trying to hop up of his feet all sideways?
I'm going to do it for you guys next, I swear. Kirk, good luck to you guys. And by the way, go to ProBowl.com.
Yeah.
Kirk's not only a friend of the show, but he's a great player, and he deserves your vote. ProBowl.com and the Raiders playing KC at 10 in the a.m. right here on KLSX, Free FM in Los Angeles. Hey, good job, Kirk.
Oh, man. Hey, I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving also.
Thank you. You too.
Brother.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Kirk Morrison, T, I'm getting on the floor and I'm going to try to do that.
Okay.
You're
going
to hurt yourself.
All right, we'll be back. Well, there you go. I want to thank the only guest we had, Kirk Morrison. Raiders versus Chief, coming up this Sunday, 10 a.m. right here on KLSX. Yes, and go to ProBowl.com and give a vote for one of the good ones, Kirk Morrison.
Any crank
games
coming up or anything like that we can plug?
Drawn together, but that's not till Thursday. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Hey, I'll tell you what we should do with that step 9. How about we put a 6 in front of it?